Hi.
Oh God, I don't know how to start this. It's about time I remake this channel's introduction video because the old one was the very first video I ever posted and I cannot even look at it anymore.
Hey everyone, my name is Jaden and
Hello everyone. My name is Jaden and I recorded this audio on a toaster because I didn't have anything else at the time. Yeah, don't watch that anymore. Here's a new one. So, hello, I'm Jaden, and I make stupid animations about my life and stories and stuff. Hopefully they're funny. I don't know. I run the channel individually, and even though it's hard making a living on just YouTube right now, especially as an animator, I absolutely love doing it, and I think you'll enjoy the channel too! I hope you will. Not convinced to subscribe yet? Here's some lovely things people just like you are saying about Jaden Animations.
She's, cool, I guess.
Wait, who is this about?
Jaden is great, and everyone should subscribe to her YouTube channel. She's a super awesome person and makes great videos. Is that good? Like that? What do you need this for again?
Oh, she's great. Wait. Who are they? Hey, who's this video about?
Oh, yeah, I love Domix. Wait, you said Jaden?
Jaden Animations? I think I liked one of her tweets once.
She doesn't post animations enough.
There are so many things you could say about, Jaden Animations.
Can I have my $5 now?
So what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button, please. Now, I know what you must be thinking now. Wow, Jaden, how can I support you outside of watching all your videos over and over and telling all my friends about you? And to that, I say you can support me on Patreon, where you can get extra behind-the-scenes looks at animation screenshots, flash files, and even a drawing from me. Whoa! Don't want to donate to my Patreon?
That's okay, I guess. I don't really mind. It's okay.
There's also merch you can buy from my shop. That's right, there's a Jaden Animations shop now, and I totally didn't spend an entire week trying to figure out how to frickin' make it. Bam! That's some snazzy clothing right there. Yeah! Well, I have nothing else to say. Thank you for watching, and goodbye. Yo, what's up, homesickles? I'm gonna talk about substitute teachers. I wanna say, for the most part, we all like having subs. You, like, walk into the classroom expecting it to be a normal day, and you glance over at the teacher, and boom, it's a sub. Yes! Don't have to try today. Most subs are pretty cool. They don't really care too much either, and everyone just ends up having a nice easy break day. They have this attitude like,
okay, so I'm just gonna pop in a movie or something, do whatever you want. I'm just here to make sure you don't all go Miley Cyrus wild and poke some kid's eye out with a ruler.
But sometimes they don't care too much, and it gets kind of weird. Like, once I had a math sub where we were just doing a worksheet or something, and this girl behind me was eating carrots. But all of a sudden, she started choking on one of her carrots and was, like, gasping and gagging and stuff. And everyone turned around and was mortified. What do we do? We all looked over at the sub for help and guidance, or something, because of all people, he should have a plan. And he was just looking at her, not doing anything. I'm sure if the girl could have spoke at that time, she would have said, "Freaking, I'm choking on a carrot here! What are you looking at? Do something, you buffoon! Ah!" So for a small period of time, everyone was just helplessly looking at this poor girl choking on a carrot. No one knew what to do! Finally, one guy got up and did the choking Heimlich procedure they teach us. It was so legit! He even did the "Are you choking?" question like they say you have to. If you haven't heard of the technique, or if for some reason they changed it, the steps are: approach the person and ask, "Are you choking?" Do not proceed if they are not choking. It actually says that. Get behind the person and wrap your arms around their waist. Be ready to support them if they faint. Take your fist and place the thumb side against their belly, just above their belly button. Grab the fist with the other hand and thrust into the belly. And the final step is, repeat thrusts until the object pops out, or until the person faints. So, the girl didn't faint. He actually got the carrot out of her throat and everyone was relieved. And after all that hullabaloo, we all kind of looked over to see what the sub had to say about the situation. And nothing. He just watched the situation with a blank slate look on his face. Like, what the heck? What are you? I've never seen less of a reaction from such a big situation from anyone in my entire life. He should make a reaction channel, come to think of it. He'd blend in with most of the people on YouTube doing it already. Anyway, enough with Mr. Blank Slate. I remember when I was in high school, we had kind of a main group of substitutes that were common to have when a teacher called in sick or something. And there was this one old man guy that everyone knew, and absolutely hated. And before I say something like, oh, Jaden, that's kind of rude to say, in our defense, he hated us too. Whenever a person walked in and saw him sitting behind the teacher's desk, the immediate thought would be, oh, crap, it's gonna be a rough day today. No one had to say it, but we were all thinking it. Okay, Jaden, so what was he like? Oh, stand up so you can sit down, because I'm getting started. Take the strictest person you know and throw them out the window because this guy is now that person. I think he saw himself as a military instructor leading juvenile delinquents because he wanted every child to be behaving perfectly, to a T, no funny business. And yeah, that's not gonna happen in high school, so there's problem one. He would start every class with the same lecture.
Alright, sit down and zip up because we're taking attendance. If I hear any talking, you're being written up. I don't tolerate jokesters in my classroom. I'm going to call out your last name, followed by your first name, and if I don't hear you say present, then you're being marked absent. You should be paying attention because you only have one chance, and I'm not calling names twice. If I pronounce your name wrong, correct me. All right, here we go.
He says that exact paragraph every time he starts a class, and I know it because I've had him enough times to have it power washed into my head. I kind of want to believe he has it written down and framed somewhere in his house so he can proudly look at it before he goes to bed every night. And he actually gets mad if you don't correct him if he says your name wrong. I know from experience. I don't care when people pronounce my name wrong. It happens all the time. I've gotten used to it. So I thought I wouldn't make a big deal out of it.
Animations Jaden.
Here.
Did I say that correctly?
It's close enough.
Correct me next time!
Sorry? He reminds me of if, like, Oscar the Grouch had a pet lemon, but the lemon was expired by 2 months and he keeps forgetting to throw it away. Like, oh crap, the lemon. I'll do it tomorrow. And he doesn't do it tomorrow. So, I'll call him Mr. Yet-To-Be-Thrown-Out Lemon, just for simplicity. I truly don't know why Mr. Yet-To-Be-Thrown-Out Lemon worked as a substitute teacher, because you could just see the child hatred in his eyes. Somehow, he made everyone in the class feel uncomfortable just by existing. So let me tell you a story about Mr. Yet-To-Be-Thrown-Out Lemon. We had him in a biology class once, and we were just gonna work on a paper he had to pass out.
Alright, we're gonna be doing a worksheet today. If I hear any talking, you're being written up. This is an individual worksheet, so there's absolutely no reason to talk to anyone at all during this hour. Everyone come up to the front of the room right now and grab a paper.
Mrs. Grapes does it so each person at a table has a number, and she calls out a random number, and that person just gets up and gets the paper for the rest of the table, so it's easier to-
I will not have slaves in my classroom!
What did he just say? This man just compared picking up papers for other classmates to slavery. Slavery! Good God, So we did it his way. The 34 of us all got up at the same time and shuffled to the front of the room, awkwardly squishing together to grab a paper from the one pile he made for us. You are a fruitcake. He did a lot of other weird over-the-top things, but this was by far the best thing I've ever witnessed from him. Oh, Mr. Yet-To-Be-Thrown-Out Lemon, you're a real piece of work.
No talking! I'm going to call out your last name, followed by- This is an individual worksheet for subaffable reasons. I will not have slaffles in my classroom. I don't know what those are. This is an individual worksheet, so there's a I'm gonna... Metal Gear. Jaden. Is there a Jaden here? Jaden. Jaden. With animations of Jaden. Is there a...
Animations Jaden. Jaden, what the fuck?
Welcome to 2018, Jaden. What's different? Nothing yet, I don't think. If you're like me and don't plan on doing anything extraordinary this year but still want to spice things up, I have a few suggestions. You know me, living life on the edge. I'm exciting. I'm adventurous. Of course, the best way to make life more interesting is to induce a variable of surprise and the unknown. In 2017, I conducted my own apple research. I just ate a bunch of apples. Here we go. I just got really curious one day. There's so many different types of apples and I don't know jack rabbit about any of them. Did you know there's... What the shit? Did you know there's 7,500 different varieties of apples? 200 in the U.S.? Because that was the first time I actually Googled it. I didn't eat 7,500 apples last year, but every week when I went to the grocery store, I'd get a different type of apple I hadn't had before, so I'd be learning about a new apple every week. It sounds stupid, but shut up, I learned a lot about apples. You're such a vegan. So growing up, Mom always got us either Fuji or Gala apples, which are some of the most common apples in the US. This is all just my own opinion and research, by the way. If you have a different opinion, good for you. Gala is pretty much the standard average apple. Nothing bad, but nothing fantastic. Fuji are a bit brighter in flavor and crisper, but they're both good standard apples to make a constant variable. Ha! See, I learned something in 7th grade science. Now. Yes, this is happening.
Back again with another Fuji food review.
Golden Delicious are softer and less sweet than Fuji and have more of an applesauce taste. I'm aware of the irony in that description. Prips Pink or Pink Lady apples are firmer than Fuji but more tart. I don't like Red Delicious. They have a thick skin and mediocre flavor, and if you get a bad one, they're super gross and spongy. Everyone knows Granny Smith. She's green and tart. Sugar Bees are a lot crisper than Fuji and, like the name suggests, super sweet. A top tier apple. Envy tastes pretty much like Sugar Bee. Call me apple racist. Jazz apples were a disappointment, mainly because I thought the name was cool and the grocery store had a fun little name tag for them. They didn't taste all that great. Ruby Frosts? No, wait, I'll go faster. Have thick skin and are kind of sour, but not as much as Granny Smith. Pacific Rose are my favorite and the best apple. If anyone tries to tell you there's a better apple, they're probably right because they only tried like 15 out of the 7,500 varieties, which is like 0.2%. But these are the ones I buy all the time now. Honey Crisp apples are crisp. Nah, they're good, but they're more expensive. Peru apples are really crunchy and taste like a weak Gala. Rockets are super small and have a unique aftertaste. Macintosh are surprisingly super soft and sweet and taste nothing like a computer. Braeburn, also known as the worst apple to ever be genetically created. I tried it for the first time and was like, ugh, ew, whoa, what the freak? Like, it's trying to be sweet, but also tart at the same time, and it's like, just pick one, you're just a dumb apple. Apparently, they were created by accident and are a hybrid of Granny Smith and Lady Hamilton, so they're not even supposed to exist. Jeez, Granny Smith, use protection. But, I mean, to give them credit, that's pretty progressive considering it was the 1950s. Apparently, Braeburn is also a My Little Pony character. Anyway, avoid at all costs. I hope all the Braeburn trees Braeburn in a giant fire and rebirth into Pacific Rose ones. So now you're an apple master. Like me. Apple Research gave me something to look forward to each week and isn't very expensive since they're apples. I'm also currently running a similar experiment on mint gum flavors. If apples aren't good enough for you, then try doing something you normally wouldn't do. But not because you're a new and improved person. Just to try and get a good story out of it. If you start trying to induce good stories, eventually you'll get one. When I was still in college, I had to take a service learning class where we had to earn 75 hours of service from some sort of internship without being paid. The one I chose, completely on my own, not because it was the closest to campus and I didn't have a car, was working as a teacher's aide at a children's Montessori. Don't know what a Montessori is? Me neither when I took the internship. It's a children's school where the teachers focus more on letting the kids learn things on their own more naturally than traditional teaching methods in elementary schools. Wait, Jaden, this sounds interesting. Can you explain a bit more? Nope, I'm moving on. So the main reason I chose the Montessori, not including the location, was because kids are funny. And there would be some great stories to come from babysitting a classroom of kindergarten to third graders 6 hours a week for a whole semester. I applied to the Montessori and scheduled an interview. I've never had a real job before, so I was super nervous and didn't know what to expect. The head teacher, Miss Frizzy, which isn't her real name, greeted me. Actually, no, first, I didn't know where the front door was. Like, I went up to the door that I thought was the entrance, but it was locked, so I called the number they gave me, and they said just go through the gate, and I didn't know where the gate was, but it ended up being around the side of the building, and the gates were all closed, so I thought I'd have to hop the fence to get into the school, but it would look super sketchy to see a college student hopping a gate to force their way into a children's Montessori. But I figured it out. So I met Miss Frizzy, but not in our own room. It was in the middle of the kids' class time when they were all running around with books and puzzles. She was like, hey there, nice to meet ya, and pulled out a kid's chair because they didn't have anything else. I sat down and my knees crunched up to my chin. It was a lot more casual than I thought it was gonna be, and probably should have been. There was one part where she was like, do you have first aid training? You legally need to have that if you wanna work with children. And I will not confirm nor deny the possible first aid training in question, but yeah, we might have brushed over that one. Anyway, I got the internship, arrived the first day, and no one told me what to do. I was like, hi, how can I help? And also, how does everything work? Because I know nothing. Oh, yeah, just help the kids if they need help. Oh, okay, then, for the majority of the internship, I was stressed out and anxious because for 3 hours every time I went in, I felt like I had no purpose except walk around and smile at kids. Occasionally, I'd help one find a puzzle piece, but those were the exciting days. Also, two kids didn't even speak English. Like, what am I supposed to do when a kid's crying? I ask what's wrong, and I get... For an hour, the kids would have lunch and then go outside to play, and that was more manageable because I just had to make sure none of them backflipped off swings or something dumb. I could also pass the time and prevent insanity by sweeping sand off the pavement. My favorite memory by far when I was there was when a kid got stuck in a bucket. We just hear, help! To help! And look over to a kid, upside down turtle with his butt in a pail. Pathetic. So what can you take away from this video? Brayburn apples were an accidental hybrid love child of two apples, and kids are incompetent at life. See, with a few little tweaks, it isn't hard to spice up your life. Now, go out and get yourself a funny story. Also, one day at the Montessori, a kid pooped on the sidewalk. Happy practically end of January. Sorry I haven't been able to get more videos out lately. Life hits you hard, bro. I'd like to thank Dave from Boy in a Band's sister, Hannah, for the little Japanese boy's voice. That was actual Japanese. She taught herself Japanese in her free time. She told me the translation, and I'm not gonna tell you. Little Easter egg for the people who teach themselves Japanese. Or already know it. I'd like to thank my expert animators again for helping out with scenes. People have been noticing, hey, that scene looks a bit different. And that's because we've got some other people helping out. I've said it before. It's not a secret. Their links are always in the description, and they're all really talented. I'm still looking for some extra permanent people because right now it's relatively casual. If you or someone you know has a style that can fit well with the videos, send me a portfolio at... I didn't plan this out, actually. Let's do jadenanimationsanimator@gmail.com. Yeah, no promises I'll be able to respond to your email. Last time I asked you for pet photos, Twitter blew up, and everything in my notifications were just pet photos for a solid week. It's not the same, but just a disclaimer. I also forgot that I also tried opal apples, and they're really good, IMO. Okay, I think that's all. Thanks for the patience. Bye.
Do you ever think to yourself, man, why is it so hard for me to just do the things I need to do and focus and remember things and manage my time and be organized and remember things and not get sidetracked? Ha! Yeah, me neither. When I was a kid, I was pretty much the picture-perfect depiction of a good student. I was well-organized, always turned in my work on time, got good grades. I even did my homework on Fridays instead of procrastinating until Sunday night. Sure, I didn't like studying and found it hard to focus during it, but who didn't? Saying all those qualities put together, that doesn't sound like the brain of someone with any kind of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, does it? I was well-behaved, didn't feel like I struggled much in school, and didn't cause any trouble. That is, up until I moved out of my parents' house for the first time to go to college. Gradually, I started slipping. I began skipping classes a bit when I just didn't feel like going, would wait until the last moment to start classwork, and lost a lot of motivation because I wasn't interested in any of my schoolwork. But overall, even though it was pretty out of character for me, I chalked it all up to the fact I was simply over going to school. At the same time, my YouTube was really kicking off, and all I wanted to do was that. Of course I wasn't gonna be as good of a student when the silly YouTube videos were doing numbers. I finished a single year of college and convinced my parents to let me take a gap year to see where this YouTube thing can take me. Spoiler alert, the gap year turned into me never going back. I'm a college dropout. So great, I've eliminated the boring school part of my life that weighs me down. Now I can go back to being organized with my new exciting passion job, which entails being my own boss and having to manage and assign myself all of my own responsibilities 24/7. quiet. The voice is not getting quieter. It's almost like everything was going backwards. I was having a much harder time staying organized and focused. If I didn't want to do a certain type of work, I would have to shackle myself down in basically an isolation chamber to be able to get it done. If I found a new interest, it was all I could think about. And why is it so easy to suddenly be on your roof watching a YouTube video on how to know when you need new shingles? I really didn't get it. Child me had it held together more than current me. What went wrong? I could look back and recognize how everything used to be so perfect and easy. Look at tiny Jaden and all her ducks in that row. I used to color code every single binder I owned, and now I don't even know where I placed the $20 I literally just had in my hand 3 minutes ago. I haven't even left the room. Genuinely, where could it can go. Despite feeling like I was downward spiraling for multiple years, I never suspected it could be something related to a genetic neurodevelopmental disorder. I just thought I wasn't trying hard enough and being lazy, or applying myself like I used to. Oh, the woes of turning into an adult, I suppose. Maybe the best years of your life truly are in high school. How upsetting. I didn't even enjoy those either. But then one day, I got a text from my brother. I got diagnosed with ADHD. It was a pretty big surprise for me because growing up, he never really seemed to show any of the typical symptoms you associate with ADHD. You know, people would always describe ADHD to me as super hyper kids who would run around the room and scream and generally be a lot. That wasn't my brother. He was quiet and well-behaved like I was. But when he started explaining his symptoms, the gears started turning. Yeah, I've always struggled a lot with focusing in school and having things hold my attention when it's boring. But, like, I could hyperfix on things I'm interested in and get really passionate about that stuff. Hearing him talk about his personal symptoms of ADHD made a lot of sense, and I felt very freshly educated on the topic. And you'd think that I would immediately start looking into getting a diagnosis for myself, because if you were paying attention, my brother's experiences all sounded very similar to the same struggles I've been having in my own life, but related to work instead of school, because I dropped out. But nope, I was just like, good for you, bro. Happy for you. Or, I'm sorry, I don't know. Anyway, back to struggling to simply open up my drawing program as if two blocks of iron were welded to my wrists. Imbalance of brain chemicals? Nah, this just happens from time to time. It's normal. Just the laziness kicking in. I hate Mondays, am I right? Even though I didn't instantly think there was a possibility of me also having ADHD, the mental seed was planted. It's genetic, so I knew subconsciously it ran in the bloodline. It took a few years after my brother was diagnosed for me to really sit down with myself and consider that I, too, could have ADHD. Shocking revelation, I know. Foreshadowing, where did you come from? Things in the focus and productivity department were just getting worse and worse. I had the attention span of a cartoon dog, would completely forget things as soon as they entered my head, would hyperfixate on random stuff like an addict, and there was constant civil war happening inside my head to get one thing done, even though I knew it would only take like 15 minutes. You don't understand. It feels like physical torture to make myself sit down and lip sync a simple scene, like most of the time. You know, the thing I've been doing for 10 years at this point and am definitely used to doing. And yeah, once I've gotten going, then I'm honed in and you have to pry me away from it with a crowbar. I'm aware of that part. But nah, I'm still gonna scrap with myself to plant my ass in that chair because I don't even know why at this point. The biggest thing holding me back from feeling like I had ADHD has always been the simple memory of being in school and having my shit together. I know what it feels like to be on top of things and to be organized. I had it all in the palm of my little child hand. I just needed to summon it again with a bit more effort. But a light switched off in my brain and suddenly I'm just not capable of the things I used to be, and it feels pathetic. Simple tasks are such a mental burden, it feels like I'm out of control but can't do anything about it. So, finally, I figured I would try and get myself diagnosed. What did I have to lose? If anything, they just tell me, no, you don't have ADHD, try a little harder and stop complaining. And yes, of course it took me like 8 months after deciding to get diagnosed to schedule the actual appointment. What did you expect? That's like the first checkmark box on the ADHD list. I started seeing a psychologist, and he would ask the typical, do you have a hard time focusing? And I'd go, Yeah, like this one time yesterday, and then he writes something down as I continue rambling on this hyper-specific example way too long for a neurotypical person. I met with him for a few weeks, and then it came down to diagnosis day. The nerves, man. I was so ready for him to say I'm a normal person who needs to suck it up. But instead, he was like, okay, so yeah, you definitely exhibit symptoms of someone with the inattentive type of ADHD. And autism. Yippee! My struggles are justified! I'm not crazy! Wait, what was that last part? He explained all the different ways ADHD affects me and the different areas I struggle with compared to others. He even gave me a 37-page document of his conclusions and information on how my brain works, with graphs and pictures. I've read through it all a bunch of times now, and it's already really helped me understand how I tick. I call them the autism docs, but I'm not gonna get into that side of the diagnosis. Let's just push that one away for now. There's a couple types of ADHD you can have: hyperactive, inattentive, and combined, which is both hyperactive and inattentive. Hyperactive is the type people typically go to when they think of a loud kid who can't sit still. People with this kind normally need to fidget, have low patience, tend to talk a lot, and have trouble staying seated, especially when they're expected to, like in a meeting or school. Inattentive is the one where someone experiences difficulty in focus, memory, organization, has a low attention span. That's the one I have. It's self-explanatory, but if you have the combined type of ADHD, then you got it all. ADHD jackpot right there, my friend. I brought up during the appointments that I used to be such a good kid in school with seemingly zero ADHD symptoms, and how that part has always confused me. And he had a couple hypotheses about it. One, since my mom has always been a big source of my organizational influence, I was able to depend and lean on her for the majority of my school life for it. I felt like I was naturally capable of staying on top of things because she was right behind me the whole time, reminding me and guiding me through stuff. So when I moved out, everything started crumbling, which lines up pretty perfectly to when I did start struggling. Another explanation he gave was the fact that ADHD affects women differently than men, which is also less researched. Love to hear that one. Not only do women tend to be able to mask their symptoms better than guys, so it goes much more unnoticed, but they also experience ADHD differently. And research says there's a chance it can just start affecting women later in life. I'm no ADHD scientist though, that's just what I've been told by specialists. I don't know, I've just got the dang thing. Either way, those two explanations make a lot of sense to me, and have since put my weird ADHD imposter syndrome to rest. I didn't really think that getting a diagnosis would change much about how I go about my life, but since getting my ADHD certificate and lollipop, it's completely revolutionized how I think and go about getting things done. It's still hard to get my ass into gear when I need to do one normal thing that's not difficult, but I'm much less hard on myself and will strike almost like these kinds of mental deals to loophole myself into getting things done. Like, for example, if I really don't want to edit a video, I'll say to myself, okay, I know it's gonna be super hard for me to immediately start that task, so I'll get myself into the mindset of getting things done by doing a simple other task I don't find difficult, like cleaning my room. That way, I'll feel productive and can transition that into tackling the original task much easier. It doesn't always work, but it's the mindset change and overall understanding that sometimes I'm gonna have to go about things in different ways that's helped me a lot. Also, after being diagnosed with ADHD, I didn't have much desire to get medicated. I figured just knowing I have it would be enough to get things into gear, and I didn't really need medication that badly. But the content creator in me also thought, well, if I'm gonna write a script about having ADHD, it would be nice to be able to talk about what it's like to be medicated, even just for a day. So I got prescribed good old classic instant release Adderall. Instant release means I don't have to take it every day. I can just take it when I need to get stuff done. It affects me immediately and then wears off after a few hours. There's also extended release, which is the kind you take every day and gives you a constant steady stream of medication. It wasn't until I had the Adderall in my hands when I realized the idea of taking it for the first time made me nervous. Like, what is this thing gonna do to me? I have so many friends with ADHD, honestly a higher ratio than friends without it. That's how it goes in content creation. All these MFs have it. They were all telling me that it's awesome, how you'll take it and immediately feel like a god, and you can do anything, and it's incredible. And yeah, that sounds great, but also like, what the hell? What do you mean I take this little pill and suddenly all of my problems seemingly disappear and I gain superpowers? That's scary. That sounds like the thing every adult in a 20-mile radius warned us about when we were kids. Am I gonna feel like a completely different person? I don't know if I'm ready to experience immortality. I put off taking Adderall for so long because I was irrationally scared of the tiny blue pill, but coincidentally, I really needed to get a script done. If I take too long to write a video script, then the team runs out of work to do, and then I have a bunch of people sitting around and waiting for me to give them more work so they can pay their bills and survive and stuff. But for the freaking life of me, I just could not get myself to sit down and write that script. My body and soul found it mentally easier to backflip off a bridge than write words on the computer. After literally 2 months of my brain going, "Ooh, you better write that script. I won't let you enjoy a single moment of your life if you aren't writing that script." I don't wanna. Get up, go to the bridge. After that constant loop, I finally swallowed my fears and took my first Adderall. I had talked to James a lot about what Adderall is like since he's been on it for a few years now. And after I took one, I was messaging him like, "I did it. I ate an Adderall. How long does it normally take to start? How do I know? What do I do?" And he was helping me a lot and giving me tips. Then, like 20 minutes later, I felt it. All the non-stop thoughts going on in my brain went silent. I could think clearly and in like a line. My mind wasn't racing a mile a minute. I was able to sit behind my laptop and write. It was incredible. I was messaging all my friends about it the entire time. I can write my script and not get distracted. I don't have to take a mental break every 10 minutes. I can remember things. Kelsey sent me a message and I thought, I'll check that in a bit. And I remembered to check in it a bit. And respond! When I opened a new tab to look something up, I didn't go down a random unrelated rabbit hole. I picked up my phone to check something and didn't impulsively scroll Twitter for an hour. I can write words so easily. How am I doing this? What do you mean I can feel like this whenever I want if I just eat the tiny blue pill? I refuse to believe regular people can function like this on a day-to-day basis. No way. It wouldn't be fair. You guys don't have loud, non-stop voices in your heads preventing you from doing normal things? Come on, just admit it. You can't pick something up and immediately keep remembering what you were supposed to be doing with it. You always forget and feel crazy. Come on. Come on. I was so suspicious that on Adderall, either nothing would happen and I just wouldn't feel anything, or I would feel like I'm a totally different person experiencing some higher-than-life manic episode. But no, I just felt like myself, but with my shit together. And that's the part I couldn't believe. After 2 months of war, I finally was able to plant myself down and write my damn script. You wanna know what script I wrote while experiencing Adderall for the first time? This one. I was struggling to write a script about ADHD, and the thing that finally pulled it out of me was Adderall. You gotta admit that's funny. Yeah, it was great. I didn't think my head was loud before, or I was that impulsive, or had that hard of a time focusing. But now that I've been able to peacefully sit in one spot for hours and not need to take a break or check social media or get distracted by some stupid tangent I don't actually care about, yeah, this changes things. I still can't believe what I was able to accomplish. Writing a script in 3 hours. Compared to my typical 12 hours, aka one mediocre thing with no struggle at all. And you want to know what I did right after I wrote this script? I immediately got up and cleaned the bird's room without rotting in bed for 3 hours beforehand. I just went from one task to another without thinking about it. All you neurotypical people must be thinking I'm literally pathetic and useless, but I know my ADHD brethren are out of their chairs right now hearing that. I'm not standing before you all to give you scientific data and information on ADHD, or diagnose you, or even promote prescribed drugs. I'm just here to talk about a big and recent experience in my life, how much of an impact and effect it's had on me, and how awesome feeling normal is. Seriously, being able to take a deep breath in mental silence is incredible. Cherish that feeling if you don't have a neurodevelopmental disorder. It took me 26 years to realize my woes were not actually woes, but symptoms of brain chemical deficiency. I'm writing this video, all things considered, pretty recently after being diagnosed, and I'm still trying to learn how to rebuild my life in a way that lets me optimize my productivity and get things done at a normal level. But so far, I've come so much further than I thought I could simply by knowing what's going on up there in the old noodle. And Adderall. If you're on the fence about being diagnosed with something, I get it. It's scary. It's scary to think you might have it, and it's also scary to think you might not have it. It's an odd place to be. But for me, having a concrete answer from a professional is what got me to finally stop feeling stuck in place and actually start moving forward again. It's been great. I'm excited to keep learning more things about how my mind works and find new ways to improve my day-to-day life. Cheers to getting normal shit done.
In case you missed it, I have new merch! For a limited time, you can get yourself a new and improved Ari plush and a completely new soft Ari jacket. I love both of these products, and up until June 23rd, they could be all yours! If you miss it, you'll never know how fluffy and pillowy the jacket is! Oh, it's like a cloud! Or how cuddly and friend-shaped the plush is! Plus, it's a great way to support both me and the team while we continue to make animations for you. Check them out at jadenanimations.com. Thanks for watching the video, and good luck simply existing to all my ADHD brethren out there. I'm right there with you. I believe one day you'll respond to that message in your inbox. Hang in there.
Well, would you look at that? The first video I'm posting in 2017. In a year, we can look back at this video and say, we had no idea what we had coming. So another year has passed, which means we're all 1 year older, which means we're growing as people, which... this is a stretch. I didn't have a transition. As a youngster, I was prone to believing people pretty much unconditionally, as with most children. I just had too much trust for my own good. Like, oh, why would anyone have any reason to lie to me? The world is full of nothing but nice people and purity! Of course, I've grown out of that mentality and am a lot more cautious. But for a while, people could just tell me things and I'd just believe them. I got thinking about all the ridiculous things people put in my head that I stored as facts, and I decided to make a list of the craziest ones. And also just letting you know, I was like younger than 7 in all of these stories. Don't worry, I didn't just find out these things aren't true like a couple months ago or anything. When I was in first grade, for some reason my mom told me aluminum foil is poison and if I ever bit it, I'd die. A bit strange, but I think I know the idea behind it. Apparently, biting foil can induce a galvanic shock. Basically, if the foil comes in contact with braces, metal fillings, something like that, the metals will react with each other and create a little electric shock. But all I knew as a kid was teeth, contact with aluminum foil, death! And I was petrified. I didn't even have braces or anything metal in my mouth at the time, so nothing would have even happened if I tried it. I also remember going to school the next day and telling my friend, did you know that if you bite aluminum foil, you'll die? And she goes, I think I've bit foil before. And I was like, how are you not dead? Grasshoppers spit acid in your shoes. This one probably needs explaining too. I was at recess with some friends and we were running around in the grass without our shoes on. When we went back to put them on, there was a little grasshopper sitting at the bottom of my right shoe. Guys, look, a cute little grasshopper is wearing my shoe. And one of my friends goes, oh my god, grasshopper spit acid! Get it out! And then we all start panicking at the fact there was a death grasshopper in my shoe. I looked up why she could have thought that, and it actually is a fact that grasshoppers can spit a brown liquid to protect themselves from predators. It's called tobacco juice, and even though it's slightly acidic, the worst it really can do is stain your clothes. It's pretty much harmless. But oh, dude, no. I had the image in my head of some Breaking Bad hydrofluoric acid, dissolve through everything it touches kind of meme. Also, just saying, I didn't mean the drug acid, even though that could be equally terrifying. Speaking of staining clothes, I was at lunch one day with the rest of my class, and one boy took out a bag of pomegranate seeds his mom packed for him in his lunch. A lot of us hadn't seen them before because it's a bit of an exotic fruit, so it caught some attention and we were all asking a bunch of questions about them. The boy said, did you know pomegranate seeds can stain your clothes and it'll never come out? Whoa, that must be one powerful fruit. It never comes out? Never, ever, forever? Not even with the power of
OxyClean Laundry Stain Remover. It gets the tough stains out.
And then we watched the kid eat a bag of pomegranate seeds sitting sideways with the seeds on the space next to him because he didn't want to spill them on himself. Looking back, it was definitely just his mom exaggerating because she didn't want to have to deal with stains in laundry. A sly parenting trick, if I do say so myself. It's weird to think she's out there somewhere and she doesn't even realize she accidentally taught me that listen to. This one's actually kind of common to believe, and I think a lot of people have been passing this myth around for a long time. Sitting too close to the TV is bad for your eyes. I did research on this one as well, and even though it might seem like it could be true, there's apparently no actual evidence that sitting in front of the TV is damaging to your eyes. But oh, little old Jaden believed it, and you know what I did with that information? Stand directly in front of the TV. Yeah, for some reason when I was younger, I really, really wanted glasses. I don't know where that came from, I just liked the look of glasses and wanted them. So when no one was looking, I would go up to the TV screen and stare at it. Like 1 inch away from my face. This'll get me glasses. But it didn't work, obviously. I actually have really good eyesight. Maybe standing too close to the TV will improve your vision. But yeah, I'm glad my eyesight sabotage plan didn't work, because having glasses just seems like a hassle and inconvenience. Tip of the hat to anyone out there with glasses or contacts, or even glass eyes that are annoyed by them. Wish you the best! We people without those things forget how good we have it. This one's a bit related, because it's about eyeballs again. If you try to use your eyes to look back into your head at your brain, they'll get stuck and you'll be blind forever. It's a bit of a spin-off of the other eyeball myth of, if you cross your eyes too much, they'll get stuck like that. I never believed that one, but I believe this brain one. A friend told me once that if you tried to look at the back of your head with your eyes, you might be able to see your brain, and we spent the whole day trying to do it. Then, when I went home, I asked my mom about it, and she said, "Don't do that, they'll get stuck." I think I believed it so quickly because if you try, it does kind of hurt your eyes a bit, because they're not really supposed to be able to look back into your head like that. And I thought that was like your body saying, don't push it, this is a warning. And even to this day, I'm a bit nervous pushing my eyes to their rotation limit. I don't know how else to say it. I know it's not true, but it's still always in the back of my mind, which I'll never be able to see. And finally, the most ridiculous thing I believed. So, I don't know how this happened. No one told me this. I don't understand where I went wrong here. But somehow I ended up confusing the disease tetanus with AIDS. I don't know how I did that. Back then, I didn't even know what AIDS was. And yes, I am considered a PG channel for the most part. So if you're a youngster watching and you don't know what AIDS is, your parents will explain it more in a few years. It's a disease that you don't need to worry about for the time being. Only adults should need to worry about it. So yeah, I thought tetanus was called AIDS. The disease that you can get from an infected cut was called AIDS to me. And the worst thing about it is this one time someone accidentally cut themselves on a rusty shovel, and I have the memory of saying, careful, you could get AIDS. What? Why? How did this happen to me? I don't understand what went wrong. How do I mix those two things up? But whatever. I know the difference now, and that's all that matters. But I do sometimes mix up saying tetanus and Tetris. Careful, you could get Tetris. I ended up learning a lot while making this video, and since I debunked a bunch of lies, I'm gonna tell you a truth I found out recently. Real quick, since this is the end card. So a friend asked me, what's the purpose of pink lemonade? And I was like, good question. So I looked it up, and I'm not talking about the lemonade from strawberries or any fruit to change the color. Classic pink lemonade. So apparently, pink lemonade originated because a long time ago, way back in the day, there was a concession guy selling lemonade at a circus. And he ran out of water and he had to hurry and find some more, and there was no river or stream nearby. And he found that a performer had just washed their red tights in some water, which turned it pink. So he used that pink water to make more lemonade, and just told people it was a special strawberry-type lemonade. And he sold a bunch more lemonade. So next time you drink pink lemonade, the image of dirty circus tight water might pop into your mind. Sorry.
So, keeping it brief, we're just gonna watch some old videos of me.
Sweet. First of all, I just want to say that I love that it's in a 4:3 aspect ratio.
This is like 15 years ago.
Now what are we gonna do, Miss Jaden, today?
Aww.
Cookies.
Make cookies.
For what? What?
What are you making cookies for?
What are they?
Sprinkles.
Sprinkles.
What are they?
Sprinkles.
You tell me what happens on Easter.
Dad eats a hide and hop on and...
What are you saying?
Hides all the eggs.
Who does?
Easter bunny.
Right. The Easter bunny.
Obviously.
Look at that. Those cookies are probably bad by now.
This is very good.
Very good. I'm eating sprinkles. I'm not even eating the cookies.
I was going to say, you put sprinkles in videos first.
Yeah.
Wait, pause it. I just want to go over all the cookies that you've made.
Yeah, my mom said that she helped with some.
The J, that's supposed to be James. This one, you were just like, oh, there's a bunch of sprinkles.
Looks like I just dropped a bunch of sprinkles on.
These three up here, your mom did.
Give sprinkles. Me some credit here.
This one was definitely you.
I don't even know what that is. This one even actually has a question mark on it.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Obviously, I was going to grow up to be an artist.
The J one's my favorite. Is it backwards? No, it's not. No, I'm dyslexic. Just...
Look at that monster bite.
How old was Jax?
He's not even born.
He's not born? This is
no. Spoilers.
BJ?
BJ.
Before Jax?
S1.
An S1.
And the second one. A dot one. Mm-hmm. And a...
Wait.
A line one. Mm-hmm.
Is this Loss?
And what are these for? Easter? Don't pop on the cookies.
Easter. You can see my old dog.
Aww,
Acacia. Looking for the egg. It's right there.
The big bottle.
Man, where could it be?
Is this coming out on Easter?
I don't know.
When is Easter? That's an egg.
I took a good 7 seconds to find that.
Yeah. It was camouflaged. Give yourself some credit.
Yeah.
Walk to your right. Your right.
That's the face of someone who doesn't know the right or left.
Jaden, that way.
Your dad has to point it out.
To your right.
Dad, I still don't know my right.
Behind you.
I know that one.
Yeah.
Obviously, no, I keep walking forward.
You're warmer, colder.
I don't even find it.
You don't.
I'm hiding under the table.
Jaden.
Yeah. She's just so disappointed. Oh, this is Disneyland.
Oh. Who are those people?
I was gonna say, like, which one's Jax?
I was in someone else's phone.
Oh. Mickey.
Oh, Mickey. I look really...
You don't know who that is.
I remember my parents, like, they gave me that hat, and it had, like, an engraving of my name in the back.
Aww.
I think, like, I was like, oh, I like the other one better, but this one's okay. And then my parents were like, we'll get you the other one. As a kid, I was like, oh my god, I feel so bad.
Even as a kid, you were that conscious about spending money, basically?
Yeah, I was like, I don't need two hats.
Those characters in Disneyland must be, like, really hard to have that job, because you have to be high energy all day.
You just have to have high, like, body movement energy.
But then I was thinking about it, like, they don't have to smile in pictures.
No.
They don't even have to smile at all. This guy could be frowning now.
Someone could be, like, mouthing, I hate you.
Yeah, no one would know. Yeah, see, he could just be like, get over here, kid.
Alright, get the freaking... Aw,
Tigger and Eeyore.
I
What?
I have fun.
Aw. Did you just trip?
Oh, now to run.
Now to run.
Yeah, not too fast. Oh my god.
Oh goodness. Is this you?
Yeah.
What?
It went back in time.
It went back in time?
That's my first birthday.
Two.
Blow it out.
Do it. Come on. Just.
Hey, she stole the credit. Someone give me some cake.
Trying to remember what my first birthday was like.
My mom's like force feeding me the cake. I'm crying. Mom!
Do you remember any of these?
Oh, of like, course not.
Well, do you remember the Disneyland?
I don't know any of these people.
Except not even your mom.
Mommy's tummy.
Whoa!
Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is Jax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I thought you were in the stuff. You're alive.
Jaden.
What's up?
But look at Crab.
There's brother in there.
But Crab.
Did you realize that this is going to be your brother forever?
I don't think I knew.
What movies were out at this time? Like, what would have a kid liked?
I'm literally forcing my dad to videotape the Crab. My unborn brother. He's going to be born tomorrow. And I'm like,
but look
at this awesome shot.
Zoom in a little bit. Hey, look at your pretty friend.
Oh, it's Jax.
Who's that? Look at him.
Super
he
Jax.
He used to, like, put his blanket
Jax.
Over.
Oh, it's SpongeBob.
Like that. Yeah, we love SpongeBob. Fly. Oh.
Super Jax.
Oh, Super James, look at that.
Watch out, you don't bump into
it. Is it weird that I also had a Super James?
Really?
That's not weird.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Yeah. Oh, a horse.
Oh, this
wait, this is like a neighborhood.
Okay, so what happened here was, this was on Halloween, and
someone dressed up as a horse.
This girl just brought a horse to the cul-de-sac, and everyone's like, Okay.
Guys, check out this horn.
Can we pet it? I remember I was scared of the horse.
Oh boy, who's there?
Oh my god.
SpongeBob. If you didn't tell me it was Halloween, I would have been like, what? I love how I can see anything. Oh, everything. Oh, I see Patrick.
I think Jackson is part of the KKK.
He's part of... I mean, it's not... Am I allowed to have that?
It was your dad who said it. Did you get candy? Oh.
I guess so.
So do you remember any of, like, dressing up as SpongeBob for Halloween?
I do remember dressing up, but...
Play the drums.
Nice.
You playing the drums?
He just breaks one.
I remember we would take out the bowls and play them like drums with chopsticks.
Do kids even know what drums are at that age?
I don't know. I think we just like our parents were things. Like, drums, and we're like, okay.
Oh. Careful. Oh, nice. Jaden's first day of school.
Oh, my God.
Oh man, my niece, next year she's gonna start her first day of school.
Really?
And it's like,
is she as excited as I was?
I don't know, but it's just like weird to think, like, cause my niece, I still think of her as a baby, and it's like, she can't talk. She can talk. I just haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, you're just not there for her.
Yeah.
It's weird for like, we're like done, but some kids are just starting. It's like, oh.
What do you mean we're done? Oh, like, done with school?
We're done with school. Like, we went through 12 years, and some people are just starting.
Do you think there's any kindergartners watching this?
Maybe. Best of luck out there, troops. Yeah. You can do some messed up stuff in kindergarten. You can eat glue. And people are like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, he's kindergarten. It's the Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls backpacks.
Powerpuff Girls, of course.
I love them.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I don't just dance. I don't have anything to dance for in Glee anymore.
I was going
to
say, did you dance like this for the first day of school in any other years? Because I feel like since first grade, you like would not be happy to go back to school.
After this first day, I'm like, oh.
This is what school is.
How much do I have left? 12 years? Oh.
What do you think you're going to do today?
Do you not realize?
Cuddle? Did you say cuddle?
Have fun!
Cuddle and have fun!
School's the best!
Okay, let's go. Dance!
Wait, what song is this?
It's a celebration.
Oh, wow. Woo. So...
Jack's dance. I don't remember any of this. So, like, if these weren't recorded, they'd be lost in the world's history. Thank God they were resurrected.
Yeah.
I remember this Jeep.
Yeah.
It would always run out of battery.
What, did you get it for, like, Christmas or a birthday? Or just...
I ran over France!
Put your hands on the wheel!
Look at me.
Wait, the front's all busted up. Yeah.
I drive a little bit better.
Turn to the right.
Oh, and that's it.
That's it?
That's all we have.
That's a good way to end it. Driving off into the sunset.
I'm a better driver now. I don't start and stop in the middle.
You're not as, like, push and go.
I used to, that's how I started. I would, like, and my mom's like, you should just keep your foot on the pedal.
Yeah. What did we learn?
It's weird that I was that person.
I saw one of those, like, fun fact website things that your cells regenerate every 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's like every 7 years, you are technically a different person. So
we just watched some random kid.
Every seven
is it,
years.
Is like gradual?
Or maybe it's gradual. Because I don't think it's like...
We're all just morphing butterflies.
Yeah, I don't think it's, 7 years, time to shed my skin and regenerate. That's just what I think all children are like. They're all excited, full of happiness.
Excited to go to school and cuddle and have fun. Now here I am, bags under my eyes.
Oh no, having a job.
I can't make 3 batches of cookies and just scribble all over them.
No one's filming you, just going like, wow.
Wow, yummy for tummy. Thanks for stopping
Thanks
by
for having me, Jaden.
Those videos.
Trip down memory lane. Now I want to look at some of my old videos.
You should. It was really fun.
Yeah. Okay.
All
right,
bye.
All right, wear your seatbelt. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to an amazing video with Jaden Animations.
That's... I'm going with that one. Thanks for doing that for me. Yeah, we're doing a drawing video. We've got James here.
Hey.
And then we've also got Adam, who is something else YT.
Hello.
We're all good friends and stuff, but we haven't had Adam in a video. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do is we're going to draw iconic characters from memory.
Oh, wait, from memory? That's what we're doing?
Dude.
Did you look it up?
Did you look it up?
Well, no. Well, yeah, I looked it up, but now I have. Well, no, I don't have it looked up right now.
Okay, well, just forget it. Forget it right now. Okay?
Just pretend that you didn't. So everyone has to draw the bagel witch from Adventure Time.
Yes. Oh, yes. The bagel.
I haven't. I think I saw that episode, but I don't remember what she looks like.
That's the point. She's like my favorite character.
Oh, she's the best.
I want her to come back. I want her in the season finale.
I like only seeing. You know what? I have a better idea. This is good. I'm taking so much creative liberty with this.
I don't know. I just realized something. I don't know how to draw.
Tough luck.
Okay, so a bagel witch, or is it the donut witch? You know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Because
she's like, you're a bagel. Like, so she doesn't like the bagels.
I think I'm doing pretty well. Oh, no, I'm not.
So we should probably explain the reason why we're recording this is because we're going to be gone for
a long time, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to be going to VidCon, and then, well, I think when this is up, we're recording in advance.
I've had friends or parents give advice to me where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be busy this next couple of weeks. And then they always say like, oh, just have stockpile them, right? And I just...
You don't understand.
I wish I could stockpile them.
Mine's kind of done. I don't know what else to add.
Yeah, mine's done too. I didn't draw a character. I drew... Oh, now it looks like a blueberry. Hold on. So...
One of these things are not like the other.
One could even say it's the odd one out.
I don't remember what exactly her face looked like. So
I think we had the same, like, she had a weird, like, chin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then James, good attempt.
The one that I chose is Bowser.
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 Okay, isn't Mario. He your favorite Mario character?
Sure. From Mario?
Well, it is now.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, he's my favorite Mario character. I changed my mind.
I think I'm drawing a cat.
Oh, shoot, I'm drawing him cute. Look at this.
Everything cute.
I'm drawing baby
when
Bowser.
When in doubt, make it cute.
What the freak does Bowser look like? Hold on.
He doesn't have ears.
Does Bowser have ears?
I know he's got spikies.
I know he has like a mohawk thing going on, doesn't he?
I have given up.
Already? Round two, James has already given up.
I'm not giving up, but like I'm making him kind of like a kid, you know?
Isn't that his kid, Bowser Jr.?
I feel like he has cat lips.
I think he has something like going on, like his eyebrows are together.
This doesn't look right, but I don't know what to do to make it look not wrong anymore.
I got it spot on. I did it. I'm finished. I'm gonna color it.
I think I just always default to my legs. You know how my legs are little nubs? I think I just default to always drawing those.
Yeah, you got some pretty looking legs. That came out weird, wait.
I don't know how to, like, I don't... Okay, this doesn't look right.
They have these turtle backpacks for sale.
It's like Hot Topic exclusive.
Or like Tilly's or something like that. Wait, no, Tilly's is not one of those stores.
I don't know. Isn't it like Skater Kids?
He was a skater boy, something later.
She was a boy.
She was a boy. I feel like he had a belt somewhere. I'm just gonna give him a bunch of belts. He has a belt, right?
What if you drew a Goomba instead?
What if he just drew like Luigi? I think I'm done. Oh, I think I just gave him a bit of a mullet, but that's okay.
Aww. You gave him little, like, seat belts.
Yours is cute.
He has little seat belts.
Oh, he does have... That's what I was thinking of the belt. He has the things on his arms.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Adam.
What is this, Adam?
It's Bowser. See, the problem was I can't draw.
Oh, he has sort of like a nose. I get it. Yeah, I see it.
Oh, see, yeah, he does have like a cat mouth, but with a weird nose.
That's true.
You guys might not get this one, but Count Chocula, do you remember Count Chocula?
From the cereal?
Yeah, like the cereal.
I've never heard of that cereal before.
You've never heard of that cereal?
I'm imagining that he's kind of like Sesame Street.
I'm picturing like the Count from, what's it called?
Hotel Transylvania?
Yeah.
I'm picturing Count Chocula because I know my cereal mascots.
People are probably going to hate the way I draw because I don't like, I just do. Just draw.
People hate when I draw because I just draw.
Ignore the haters, BB. We had a tradition in my house where you were only allowed to eat sugar cereal on Christmas morning.
Wow. So, like, what cereal would you normally have?
Like Honey Bunches of Oats, Life, Cheerios, not Honey Nut Cheerios, just normal Cheerios. Actually, my mom would get Honey Nut Cheerios and real Cheerios and mix them in.
I never liked those cereals as a kid because they were too boring for me.
What?
Honey Nut Cheerios? They're the same flavor every single time.
What kind of cereal are you eating where it's a different flavor every time?
Yeah.
Well, like, so, like, okay, so Lucky Charms. You get the oats flavor and you get the marshmallow flavor. It's an explosion of flavor.
It's like two flavors, one whole extra flavor. I don't know what cereal. I think I just, like, as a kid, I just had waffles. That's what I ate before school every morning.
I remember when it comes to waffles for me, I always woke up late, so I never really had time to, like, put the Eggo waffles in the toaster oven. I just basically eat it frozen.
Oh, that's like, so sad.
Well, it tastes good. Like, I kind of like it better frozen.
Okay, you're making me sad, Adam.
Well, no. How is that sad?
It's just like a sad food to eat is a cold waffle that's frozen.
I like the rock hard cold waffle.
Can't wait to wake up in the morning and eat a frozen waffle.
Oh, it looks like that looked like a Nazi symbol. Jaden, don't put that.
Hey, man, that's too controversial for YouTube. You're gonna get demonetized.
Oh, Count Chocula, doesn't he, like, have a tuxedo thing?
Oh, he has a tuxedo?
Oh, no, I mean, no. Right. I don't know, does he?
What is this cereal? I've never heard of it.
It's like, it just like Cocoa Puffs?
Chocolate little vampires.
Looks like he's wearing a V-neck. I'm gonna keep it.
You know, this is making me hungry for chocolate cereal.
Fatty.
Cool. Two different answers. He's got a bunch of spoons in his pocket. And then this pocket is for cereal. So it's like, he's so ready to give kids cereal.
God, I'm so ready to give children cereal.
Come into the van, children. I've got chocolatey cereal.
That's how they get you. God. Boom.
Oh, okay. I see what you guys did. He's, like, much more equipped.
He's equipped.
Constantly ready for... Wait, where is... Oh, his arms are in there. Okay.
Yeah, it's like just popping out of the trench
under
coat.
Under trench coat.
He doesn't even have vampire teeth. He has buck teeth. What?
Is he, like, a beaver vampire?
A beaver vampire.
Whatever. I like mine better. next round. So it's kind of like a two-parter.
Oh.
The coyote and roadrunner. From Looney Tunes.
I think I got the Roadrunner down, but not the coyote.
I think I got the coyote down and not the Roadrunner.
I think I'm gonna sweep the floor with both of you. Oh, I made him. He looks like Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny combined together, and that's not what I'm going for. I don't know how his head goes. Oh no, this is really ugly.
Whatever I'm drawing looks freaking terrifying.
Oh geez, he looks like the skinny kid in a high school movie.
I just did something, I'm like, yeah. Yes!
This looks so stupid.
Do you guys know how to spell Looney Tunes?
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Adam, how do you spell Looney Tunes? Don't even spell Looney, spell Tunes.
T-U-N-E.
Yeah, you got it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
There's like the Mandela effect where people think it was O-O
like cartoons.
Yeah, it makes sense because it's like cartoons.
Not gonna lie, I took a 50-50 chance and I knew what I was doing.
I feel like this is a bad Furio scene.
I don't, God, I'm a great drawer.
I want all the people to not judge me on everything I've drawn today. Does the Roadrunner have eyelashes? Isn't the Roadrunner a girl?
I think so.
And also, speaking of Mario from the last round, do you know Birdo?
Isn't he a boy?
Yeah.
No, it's a girl, isn't it?
It's one of those trivia things.
I think it's canon that Birdo is a guy.
Wait, but like, wasn't Yoshi and Birdo like a thing?
And a gay romance? Yeah, they are.
Oh, good for them.
I don't know how his tail goes. No, he looks like an ostrich, or she. Sorry.
Don't misgender.
Don't roadrunners eat insects, not seeds? That whole cartoon is flawed.
You're telling me it's not real?
I feel like if people saw mine, they would,
strike you for copyright.
That's how good it is. Boom, I'm done.
Oh, yeah, you drew an action shot.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, yours that one's is better. A lot better.
I'm a
Oh, buddy boy! He's got arms!
James, yours looks like a knockoff, like a wolf chasing a really fast duck.
Adam, did you forget to draw the nose on the coyote?
I
like how he's got elf shoes.
Are you ready? The alligator from Sonic.
I don't know this one either.
You don't know that one?
I didn't know the chocolate guy, and now I don't know the croc guy.
This is perfect.
Alligators don't even go fast. I know Knuckles is like built on upper body, so I'm just gonna like go off that. And he's gonna have really good calves.
So what do you think this character is like, Jaden?
Like cool skater dude.
Ooh.
I think his name's like Doug.
Doug. This is iconic characters, not minor iconic characters.
He's iconic to me.
I think I got him spot on, to be honest.
What if I give him Crocs for shoes?
Crocs.
There we go.
Was this guy a good guy or a bad guy?
I feel like he's mischievous and like kind of sly sometimes, but he's like on the right side.
Well, since I know the character, he's dumb.
It's funny because I was just talking to this character. He says you're dumb too.
Wait, James, did you give him chains?
Yeah,
look, he's
that's his actual picture. Do you not see the actual picture?
Oh, you're right. He does have chains.
Haha.
I think, actually, the body I drew is not far off from his body. This guy looks cool.
Man, I didn't realize that he doesn't look anything like my character that I drew.
Is this the last one?
The last one, yeah.
Caillou.
Caillou, okay.
Just a kid who's four. Each day I learn some more.
I had it and then I lost it. I watched this show as a kid, but I never watched it like as a kid where I would remember what he looks like.
I am almost done.
I think, you know what? I do know what he looks like.
The only thing I remember about Caillou is watching one episode where he went to the grocery store with his mom and he was in the grocery cart. Mm-hmm. That's the only random memory that I have of Caillou.
I remember there was this one episode. He was like really pissed off because his dad wanted him to take a bath, but he was just being a little brat. And I'm like, who does this kid think he is? I'm just like, my parents tell me I gotta take a bath. I just do it.
Yeah, I thought Caillou was a brat even as a little kid.
All right, I'm done. Are you guys done?
Wait, I'm not done.
Never mind. I'm still working super hard on mine.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay, me too.
Okay. What? No, James!
Oh, come on.
Look at those beautiful boys.
So,
what did we learn?
We learned that... I don't think we learned anything.
Friendship, we always wins.
We tried our best, okay? So, yeah, this video is done. You should go watch James and Adam's video.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Cool, so, cool. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
For people who have been around for a while, you might be seeing the title and thinking, Jaden, aren't you allergic to cats? And to that, I'd say, yes. Kind of. I'm actually not sure anymore. And for the people who know anything about me, you might see the title and think, Jaden, cats are literally the number one natural predator to birds. And to that, I also say, yes, that one's 100% proven fact. So let me back up a bit and explain how we got here, because all the cards in the world were stacked against the idea of me getting a cat. Growing up, I was irrefutably and absolutely allergic to cats. My best friend had like three of the things, and every time I would hang out or sleep over at her house, I would be a sneezy, watery-eyed, snotty mess. Can I have some water? Given the fact my brother was also allergic to cats, it was set that we were a dog family. My whole life I went around not giving cats a second thought. I never had anything actually against them, but since I was forced to stay 20 feet away from them or suffer the consequences, I just couldn't get to know them. Plus, as a kid, dogs were always more appealing. They're more likely to be bigger fans of playing and running around, be more approachable with their genetically bred unconditional love, and can overall be more forgiving. Cut to like two catless decades for me later, and I'm meeting Jacob for the first time at his place. As we're hanging out in his living room, his cat Fraser comes over and greets me. Fraser is extremely social and vain, so he's always expecting nothing less than a never-ending stream of attention from the people. Even though he's very cute and distinguished, I deployed my typical foolproof plan of don't touch the cat. Fraser realizes he's not getting any attention out of me and sits down nearby on the couch. But a bit later, Jacob's other cat ends up making an appearance. This one's Taylor. She's normally really shy and hides, but does really like women. Which I am. Taylor ended up crawling onto me and making herself really comfy in my womanly lap. Jacob, knowing I'm allergic, offered to take her away, but this was actually the first time a cat has ever done something like this to me. I've always been a bit of a cat magnet, if you want to call it that, because I act like they don't exist, which they interpret as me not pushing their boundaries and creating a comfortable environment for them to come up to me on their own terms, but never have I felt like a cat has chosen me like this before. I told Jacob I'm happy to let her stay comfortable on me, and I'll just reap the consequences of my sowing later on. This was my first extremely positive experience with the cat, and I honestly felt really happy and special and wanted to enjoy it. A few hours later, I'm saying my goodbyes, and during the drive back home, I realized I was completely fine. No sneezing, no itchy eyes, straight up nothing. I was so confused and curious. Thus, the start of my little cat experiment began. Every time I went over to Jacob's place, I would let the cats be as social as they wanted with me. If Taylor wanted to sit by me, I'd let her. If Fraser wanted attention, I would pet him. At one point, while we were watching a movie, Taylor literally decided to lay down on my neck, filling every one of my breaths with cat dander and hair. And you know what happened?
No reaction! Not even a little drip of mucus! Somehow, sometime, I'd grown out of my cat allergy and never noticed. Apparently, every 7 years, people's allergies have the chance to change. Maybe being surrounded by my friends' cats all throughout my childhood could have helped my body get more familiar with them. Either way, I've now unlocked the skill to survive cats. Oh, guys, it was incredible. Now that I'd been freed from my shackles, I immediately started taking time to get to know cats more. Instantly, they felt so much more cute and cool and approachable and I was really starting to like them more, especially since every time I would hang out at Jacob's place, Taylor would walk over and be around me and purr and, oh, it was amazing to be loved by a cat. So I really like cats now. And after some time, I decided I wanted one too. Jacob and I decided to peruse a local cat rescue's website just to see what cats were available. I don't want to get one right away. There's a lot I have going on, but it doesn't hurt to, oh my god, that one. I want that one so bad. It's so cute. What's its name? Tostada. Tostada! Tostada, my beloved. We have to send in an application. We have to. Hi, my name's Jaden. I love this cat. Please let me adopt it. Please, 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 please. What? You guys know me. I'm weak-willed and impulsive. My first mistake was liking cats to begin with. The rescue reached out a few days later for a cat screening interview to make sure we would be a good fit to be cat parents. After being approved, they told us we could pick any cat we wanted that was in their care. Of course I asked about Tostada, but we were given the unfortunate news that she had already been adopted. No! We looked at the other cats available on their website, but unfortunately, none of them really stood out to me. The rescue ended up inviting us to a little Meet the Cats event they were hosting where we could see all the cats they had up for adoption in person, which was awesome because that was actually the first time I'd ever actually seen and held a kitten before. It was amazing. But as cute and tiny as they all were, there still wasn't one that called to me. I pried Jacob away from the kittens, headed home, and we started waiting. Every day I would check the rescue's cat list to see if any new ones caught my eye. I didn't even know what I was looking for, but waited for the universe to send me my perfect cat nonetheless. One morning I refreshed the page and saw one new kitten added. A tortie they found in some dumpster named Scrabble, with the biggest eyes and forehead I'd seen in my life. Something about this bizarre little creature called to me. I messaged the rescue about Scrabble, and they told me she's available, putting me in touch with Scrabble's foster parents. Every day, they sent me new little pictures of kitten Scrabble, and every photo I fell more and more in love with her. She seemed so silly and playful and those eyes. We got on a video call and they told me all about how big of a personality she has. Out of the 5 other kittens they were fostering, she was by far their favorite. The whole time we were talking, Scrabble was flipping around in their arms and looking at the camera with her giant orbs. I left that call knowing I found my cat. I needed to have little kitten Scrabble. Meeting her in person only cemented it. She was shy at first, but after flinging around her worm toy, she immediately started hopping around and being the life of the party. I talked a lot to her foster parents, and they just gushed about how they wished they could keep her since they all loved her so much. Even though the rescue called her Scrabble, obviously that was more of a placeholder name, the foster parents called her Cammy, but neither of those really fit to me. However, I knew one name that I liked. Tostada. Yeah, I stole another kitten's name and pasted it on mine. So what? Big deal. Tostada is a great name. My Tostada is way more of a Tostada than the other Tostada anyway. Look at her. I would have left with little Tostada in my arms that moment if I could. But unfortunately, Jacob and I were going out of town for 3 million weeks and had to wait to take her home until after we came back. She was all I could think about the entire time. I was shoving Tostada photos in everyone's face every chance I got. The foster parents were sending Tostada updates every day. I was overflowing with yearning for this cat. She was growing and learning about the world without me. Take me home to my child. Literally, the moment Jacob and I landed, we drove straight from the airport to the foster home to pick her up. I could not wait. We arrived home with plus one Tostada. I couldn't believe it. I have a mammal now. And sorry, other mammal owners, but it's the best mammal in the whole wide universe. Jacob and I spent the entire day playing with her, letting her get used to her new surroundings. She was so cute and so tiny. Here's a video of her eating wet food with a big old chomp. As someone who's owned birds for 7 years at that point, it felt so strange to have a pet that was significantly less fragile. And also draws significantly less blood. You mean this thing can't fly up and get hit by the ceiling fan? Insane! I've had Tosada for a while now. She's 2 years old at the time of me posting this. And let me tell you, this thing has become a creature. First of all, eyes... still giant. And she never blinks. Look at this. She was sitting on my desk looking like that long enough for me to notice, get my phone out of my pocket, pull up the camera app, put the camera in her face, and take a photo. And here's like four more. She is also not that smart. I'm sure you could deduce that by how she looks, but this thing has a single brain cell and it's just another version of herself up there with a joystick. Jacob and I are fully convinced she can only form a few thoughts a day and only in single word nouns. Evidently, Tostada is also very scared of everything, always has been. Loud noises, quiet noises, no noises, movement of any kind. Even Jacob, a person she's been around all her little life post dumpster. There's been times where he'll be at his desk, moves his chair just a smidge, and she's darting out of the room. One time we were trying to explain to some friends how skittish she genuinely can be, and demonstrated it by grabbing a toy literally in front of her, raising it up a bit, lightly dropping it on the floor, still in front of her, and she bolted. You know how cats are genetically built to be good at balancing? Well, Tostada can't even do that. She trips and falls and misplaces her feet all the time. On multiple occasions, she has tried to walk across my L-shaped desk and just missed and fell down. That's like the one thing that makes a cat, and nope, doesn't hit the mark there either. She's gotten better, but as a kitten, Tostada couldn't even jump. After I built her her first cat tower, I watched as she attempted to jump up to the second level, not quite make it, and had to slam her arms down on the thing to hoist herself up like she was mountain climbing. But oh, is she the sweetest little thing. When I got a cat, I was expecting it to want its own space, come around when it wants, you know, general cat things. But this creature follows me from room to room with those high beams of hers. She sits on my lap while I'm at my computer, lays on my giant Pokemon plushes, mostly just looks up at me from the floor and just stares. When I'm sleeping, she'll just crawl into bed and tuck herself up right next to me. Look at all these photos of her straight up on me when I'm sleeping. Don't look too close though, I don't have makeup on. Bedtime is sacred to her. She loves bedtime. If I'm working late, Tostada will come into my office around 9 or 10 p.m., aka past Tostada bedtime, and just start crying, scratching on my chair, rolling around on the floor. It's pitiful. And if I still don't move after that, she'll go into the bedroom and drag over her string toy she always plays with. It's just so sad and pathetic. I always play string with her when she brings it over though, don't worry. But lately, she's picked up another routine habit, which is pats. Not all cats like the pats, but Tostada lives off them. It's when you just slap a cat's butt and it looks like you're hurting them, but they actually love it. However, Tostada's really particular about pats. First of all, I'm the only one allowed to give her pats. Jacob has tried and she runs away scared and offended every single time. Second, she has to receive pats on a specific spot on the floor of the closet. If I try to give her pats in, like, my office, she bolts to her floor spot, staring at me to continue them over there. Also, she begs to be pat every single night. Like clockwork, she'll sit like a gargoyle in front of the closet and cry pitifully until I come over there. Now, when I finally come over for pats, she'll flop on the floor and start horizontally rock climbing her way across the floor with her claws and tangle herself up in the Ethernet cables while I keep up the pats. You think I'm joking, but I'm very much not. This is the only way she accepts pats, and I have to give them to her every night or else she's miserable. Tostada's world is so small. She's really just around me, Jacob, Taylor, and Frasier, but she loves her simple family so much. When kitten Tostada first met Frasier, she was terrified of him. She'd been around other adult cats before, but she'd never seen a flat cat in her life, and she was mortified. Of course, she's since warmed up to him, and they play together and hang out all the time, and they're best friends, but Tostada loves Taylor. Always has. She looks up to Taylor like a little baby sister admiring her cool, awesome older sibling. Unfortunately, Taylor hates it. They literally have a SpongeBob Squidward type of sibling relationship, and Tostada is so oblivious to it. Taylor has annoyingly swatted at Tostada so many times just for existing around her that Tostada now thinks it's a fun little game they play and will start chasing and swatting back at Taylor happily, not understanding Kat's social cues. Of course, never in a way that's too far, but just enough to get on Taylor's nerves even more. Between the three of them, they all have such different little personalities and relationships to each other. It's made our lives so much more entertaining. And to anyone concerned about the birds, don't worry. I've got Ari and Tofu very separated from the cats. They're safe in their own blocked-off room connected by a double door system that ensures no possible interaction between bird and cat. If anyone is thinking about getting cats and birds as pets, it is possible, but just make sure the two are very separate, especially if you have smaller birds like conures or budgies. I'm sure there's people out there that have trained their cats to be fine around a pet bird, but to me, all it takes is one accident or attack for you to just not have a bird anymore. Plus, having the two of them takes a huge amount of time and commitment. I've said it before and I'll say it forever, I love my birds to death, but they do not make good pets for the very large majority of people. In terms of allergies, I do think I was originally still a little bit allergic to Tostada, ironically. When I first got her, I was sneezy and sniffling. Nothing allergy pills couldn't fix, and it never was as bad as my original cat allergy. But I think I've been growing out of that one too, because nowadays I don't have any reaction to her at all. Bodies are a mystery. I am building my immunity to everything. Next up is rat poison. I didn't think I would make a video talking about this thing, but Tostada's just got such a funny little personality and has become such a big part of my life. She may be the description of autism, but I love her more than the world itself, and I know I'm the center of her little life too. I don't even see her as a cat. She's just a little creature that follows me around looking weird, but I love it, and I'm so glad I grew out of my cat allergy just so I can have her. It really has been so different owning a cat, mainly because I know Tostada won't just bite me at any given chance, unlike some avian creatures. Thanks for watching the video. Heads up, I'm going to be announcing new merch again soon, so be on the lookout for that. The last drop went so well, and I'm really glad that so many of you guys enjoyed it. I'm so excited to finally be getting back into making fun merch, and it really helps me out a lot. Alright, sorry, thanks. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Ari, something's telling me people like you more than me.
Maybe I'm being irrational.
I mean, not to rub it in your face or anything, but it's not called Ari Animations. You don't even do anything. I'm the one doing all the animating and work. Don't give me that look. All you do is eat and scream. It doesn't matter or anything. Okay, I'm just gonna run a little experiment for research purposes. It's not a competition, just getting information. Doesn't hurt. Just a bit curious to see if I'm just overanalyzing the... Well, since you all just love Ari so much, why don't we just talk about him? No, I get it. Ari's cute. He's funny. He flings strawberries all over the place. Let's shift the spotlight to the star here. I don't think I've ever gotten into the origin story of getting Ari, so I guess I should do that. Back when I was 12, I said to my mom, Mom, can we get a bird? I really, really, really like birds. Have you seen that one video of a bird in a rabbit costume? It's pretty great. And she said, okay, you can get a bird when you move out. Wait, but... And that was my life plan for the next 6 years. In my old 100K video, there's even a bit of foreshadowing if you picked up on that.
Oh, you wanted this bird.
I still want a bird, but not this one.
I actually got Ari before I officially moved out, but that's because I was planning to live with some friends, plans ended up falling through, and things were already confirmed with the bird lady. But that turned into an ironic situation because after getting Ari, guess who started falling in love with him? My mom even started to collect Ari's feathers in a little baggie. I'm not sure why. It's not like Ari's gonna be short on feathers anytime. Ever. The moral of the story is, if you want a thing and your mom says no, get it anyway and trick her into liking it so when you move out and take it with you, it's the ultimate revenge. You probably think Ari's just a sweet little angel who eats a lot and pushes things off counters. Well, let's all get on the same page here. Because you're wrong. very incorrect. The best way to describe Ari is a brat. I love him, but he's a brat. Actually, no. Ari's just the embodiment of a toddler, constantly wanting attention and food. And if he doesn't get it, he screams. Isn't that just the sound of love?
Stop!
Ari also gets really jealous. Since we spend so much time together, he's definitely bonded to me. If anyone gets in the way of us, then he starts getting really aggro and puffs up as if that's threatening anyone. When I was living with my parents, my mom would come into my room and kiss me goodnight, and he would just stare at her. Who does this human think it is? I will end them. Ari sees my mom as competition for my love. He doesn't like her. Ari's actually pretty shy. He's only comfortable with me and Jack so far. Everyone else, he's all, nope! Like, physical nope. No, look.
Ari. He's like leaning. Bye. Dave, you want Ari to lean away from you? Ah!
I also want to bring up the fact that Ari just decides not to like random objects. Like nail filers, those are pretty high up on his hate list. He doesn't like it when I use hair products. He doesn't like it when I refill his water. Hate what you want, Ari, but I think you should be a little bit more grateful that I'm giving you water. Just trust me on that one. Despite being a jealous little punk, Ari does have his golden moments. One thing that he's fascinated by is drawers. I don't think Ari really understands the concept of how drawers work. I can only assume he sees them as little pockets of universes that appear and disappear at random intervals. Because this is pure confusion and interest if I've ever seen it. Same with mirrors. Aries are typically very intelligent, but most of them don't recognize their reflection, which we can all laugh at. I asked on Twitter if you had any Ari questions, so let's get into those. James said, does Ari have sharp talons? Actually, it's been a while since I got Ari's nails done, so we should go do that. Thanks for reminding me, James.
We're going to get your nails done. You excited?
Woo! I just wanna wait there was he super jumped.
Okay, stop putting your finger up there.
We're done. You scratching your head real good.
Oh yeah. That a good scratch? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Is Ari called Ari because we're in Arizona? I've gotten that question a lot, and it's funny. I think it's about time I address it. No. Does Ari flip upside down? And then they show a picture of their Ari. First of all, aw. Second of all,
hi.
Yes. Is Ari secretly making the animations? No, the pen is bigger than his entire body. Does Ari like mangoes? Yes. When I was younger, my family had a sun conure. He was not a quiet bird and got pretty loud. So, how loud is Ari? Does Ari like music? He tries to sing but has no rhythm and is pretty tone deaf. Is Ari friends with the toucan? Yes. Ari, what's your favorite color? Yellow. Can you speak? No. What words? He can't speak.
Am I baka for having a crush on Ari? Me no baka. Choo!
Yikes. Can Ari play the piano? No, he's not heavy enough to press any of the keys down. Is taking care of a bird difficult? Okay, holding the jokes for a sec here. I get this question a lot, and it's kind of important. It's not difficult, but there's routines you definitely need to adapt into your life. I'm not the most public with how to get your own Ari, because as fun and amazing as they may seem,
obviously. Proper Ari care is important, and I want people to do their own research before getting one. It's pretty common for people to impulsively decide to get an Ari and then not care for them correctly by either not having a good cage, giving them improper diet, neglecting it, stuff along that line. They need love! Aris aren't meant to sit in the corner as decoration for their entire life. Before you get an Ari, it's really important you do research on what type of Ari best suits your lifestyle, how much attention you can give it every day, proper health and care needs, all that life stuff. Act like you're getting a child. There's a lot of similarities. You're gonna have to spend time with it, they'll be relatively expensive, they might bite you, there's a chance they'll be living with you for around 18 years, more or less, depending on the type of Ari. People don't impulsively get children. Well, not intentionally. If anything, they can accidentally get stuck with them, but that's not really an issue with getting Aris. So if you've seen Ari and you are okay with it being jealous and a brat and little punk and you still want one, do your own research and don't ask me. I'm not a professional. I don't know why people keep thinking I'm professional at anything, but I'm doing pretty good with the information I took the time to find and learn about. So, yeah. Now let's end the video with some miscellaneous footage of Ari being Ari.
No one likes a peeping Tom.
All right, I'll let you in.
Ari.
Hi.
What are you doing? Don't, ah! Whoa. Wow.
Hello. You brought a rice?
You're just talking to yourself over there. On Lonely Island. Is that right? Are you angry? Are you angry because you want to be over here? We don't all get what we want now, do we? You're just screaming by yourself on the top of the tower. You stealing some peanut butter? Is that good?
I was talking to some friends and we were trying to figure out why birds were such derpy meme animals, and they mentioned the fact that it might have to do with them having no arms, which makes everything they do really funny. So now that they've said that, I can't unsee the fact it's funny birds have no arms. I'm not saying that people with no arms are funny. Okay. I like when you look at a bird from the very front of their face and you can see both their eyes bulging out the sides of their head. I think that's really funny. Not to make fun of people whose eyes are bulging out the sides of their head. Normally people tweet at me with random references to my videos like half-popped popcorn or if they see my toucan in Target. But my favorites are when people send me pictures of their birds. Keep sending those. Same with dogs. Send dogs. Those are good as well. Do any of you have sugar gliders? I think those are cool. If you have a weird exotic pet, send me a picture of them. I want to see them. That's a demand. Okay, bye, I'm done now.
Hello everyone! Sorry I haven't uploaded in a while. As you know, as most of you should know, I was really busy working on the new Aya's Cupcake animation, the Surgeon Simulator one, but I am back, and I'm working on my next animation for you all. But for now, here's some questions that you've sent to me through Twitter and DeviantArt. Where do you get your animation ideas for your channel? I've just gotten all my ideas from society and the world around us, whether it be from noticing things, just walking around, embarrassing real-life experiences. So basically, all the stories that I'm animating for you all are just from the juices of life. Do you have any animation tips or tricks? When I was just starting, like I said in my last Q&A, my first animation experience was a huge project, and at the time I had no idea how to actually animate or do anything, and it was scary, it was intimidating. So I would say, don't start off with a huge idea or skit, because chances are it'll get overwhelming, it'll get confusing, you don't know what the heck in the world is going on. So start off with the basics, I don't know, like a bouncing ball or a walking guy, just to get an understanding of the animation process, and then you can go from there. Will you make animations for other YouTubers? I would love to work with other YouTubers. Working with Pupquake is so awesome. They are amazing people, and I'd love to reach out to some other YouTube channels. I've recently become obsessed with British YouTubers, so I feel like it'd be fun to work with one of them. My favorites are Den and Phil. Most of you should know them, and I feel like they would have some really great animation ideas. Maybe you guys can help me get in contact with them, like tweet them or something. I don't know. Moving on. Am I Team Torchic, Team Trico, or Team Mudkip? Pokemon Ruby was the first ever Pokemon game I ever played, and it's my favorite. And the first time I ever played through it, I picked Torchic, and ever since I was hooked, I love Torchic. Torchic is bae. Also, Blaziken is tied with being my all-time favorite Pokemon ever. Not to say that I dislike Trico or Mudkip, I still love them both, but I always go with my fiery karate chicken. What is 2 plus 2? Do I need to? If I could be any animal that matches my personality, what would it be? This is kind of a funny coincidence because in junior high, I was in a class and somehow we got on the topic of deciding what animal I would be, and apparently the class thought I would be a bunny, so I guess being a bunny wouldn't be that bad. You know, hopping around, eating grass, until you're savagely eaten by a coyote. But, you know, besides that, that'd be pretty cool. How big of a Pokemon fan are you? You all do not understand. I am such a big Pokemon fan. I've played almost all the main games, some side games, I have merchandise, and I actually play it competitively. Yes, there is a technical side to Pokemon that many people are not aware of. It includes complicated things like EVs, IVs, natures, stats, abilities, stuff like that. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, then you are not ready. Once you are enlightened, you can never play it the same way again. You have been warned. Do you like drawing traditionally or digitally? I started off drawing on paper just like anyone else would. Crayons, markers, stuff like that. So I was always used to paper when I was growing up. But when I got my first drawing pad, I started drawing digitally a lot more. And now I really like drawing digitally just because it's so much easier to fix things or undo something. Control Z is my god. So I am much more of a digital drawer now. Do you play any other games other than Pokemon? I'm just a big Nintendo fan. All my favorite games are made by them. I love Animal Crossing, Kirby, Smash Bros, Mario. Kate and I love playing Cooking Mama together because we rage when we ruin the dish by washing all the rice down the sink or burning the beef in the stir fry because the stupid onions wouldn't cook fast enough. I basically enjoy all the cute cartoony games. What is your advice for people learning to draw? I would say, don't let anything discourage you. If you're passionate enough towards drawing, then you need to keep doing it. Practice literally makes perfect when it comes to drawing. One tip that I figured out is, you shouldn't compare your work with other people's. Everyone draws differently, they all have their own style, and comparing yourself only discourages you. Also, listen to what other people say about your work. Don't just, quote-unquote, block out the haters, because the art world is based on criticism and how people perceive your artwork, so listening to other people's points of view can help you grow as an artist and get better. Well, that's all the questions I have time for. Thank you to everyone who sent one in. If you want to ask a question for the next Q&A, be sure to follow me on Twitter and DeviantArt. I love you all, and goodbye!
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. You know how in my last video I said I was an obedient child who never stepped out of line or broke rules growing up? I wasn't lying, but I do have things I've secretly carried on my shoulders for a long time and still feel arguably guilty about to this day. This video isn't just for your entertainment. It's gonna serve as me clearing my conscience and finally being free from these chains of guilt. Also, don't get your hopes up. None of these stories involve murder. Sorry, I didn't kill anyone. Every once in a while growing up, my dad would let us sit in front of the television while we ate dinner. That would be a special treat for my brother and me because mom wasn't home from work yet and she wouldn't let us watch TV during the week. This is when we were really young, by the way. Don't worry. I'm allowed to eat in front of the TV at least 3 days a week now. We were eating in front of the TV one night, and I wanted to have chips for dessert. Our dinner rules were always eat dinner and then get a little treat or dessert afterwards. And I wanted chips. Everyone's favorite dessert. So my dad got the bag of chips, and normally my parents poured us bowls, but there wasn't much left, so he just gave me the whole bag and said, don't eat them all. He got 2 cool parent points that day. It was going good so far, eating chips in front of the TV.
This is the height of luxury!
I looked down, and I ate all the chips. Dang it! What do I do? My dad gave me 1 rule. My parents are never gonna trust me ever again. They're gonna disown me. My life is over. I'm gonna be living in a box on the side of the road and I'll have to search trash cans for chips. I might as well pack my things and get a head start right now. I started to panic and my little kid brain started racing to think of some sort of way to avoid punishment. A rat! A giant rat burst through the door, slapped the bag out of my hand, ate all the chips, and escaped out the window. And also stole an extra cookie on its way out. No, they wouldn't believe that. I don't think rats eat chips. Jax finished eating early and went into the backyard to play. So what I ended up doing was going, Jax, do you want some chips? And I gave him the empty bag. Then I went over to my dad and said, Dad, I have something to tell you. I'm sorry. Jax ate all the chips, and I went into my room and hid. I really don't think my brother got into any trouble because I didn't hear anything else about it, and my dad probably just threw the bag away. But since I never got caught or came clean, I've held this guilt about that whole situation ever since. There's layers to it. Not only did I lie to my dad and falsely accuse my brother, but on top of it all, I gave Jax an empty bag of chips. A perfect little regret cherry on the ice cream sundae of shame. And I really think that when my dad and brother watch this video, they'll be like, I don't remember this at all. Because I want to say it was like 13 years ago, which makes me feeling guilty even more pointless and stupid because it doesn't even matter and no one cares and I'm the only one suffering from it. This is a pretty effective way to learn a lesson. I've never finished a bag of chips since that day. One time I was at recess in second grade playing by myself in the grass. You know, like a frickin' loser. This group of girls came up to me and said, Hey, we're playing tag and chasing the boys. You should help us. And I was like, well, beats sitting here and getting eaten by ants. So I started running around and chasing the boys with the rest of the kids. It was all normal tag at first, but somehow it started escalating to extreme tag. Extreme as in, people started throwing rocks. Being a self-conscious child who had no understanding of personal choices, I was like, oh, well, I guess we're doing this now. So I threw a rock and hit this kid in the back of the head, which, may I add, took some top-notch skill and coordination, considering we were both running and he was a good distance away from me. Not to brag or anything. Ow! I'm telling. Oh, freak. I watched this kid start running off to tell a teacher, and I knew I had to think of something fast. And don't tell me I should have just stood there and faced the consequences of my actions. You know, as a kid, you wouldn't have done that. This only works if we're all honest with ourselves here. The first thing I could think of was to go hide in the bathroom, because everyone knows teachers can't burst into kids using bathroom stalls. That is definitely illegal and weird. I camped out in the girls' bathroom until I heard the recess whistle and went back to class. Obviously, the teacher was told what happened. I couldn't have run away from that, so I still got in trouble. But the guilt trip doesn't end there. The teacher told me I wasn't allowed to go to recess tomorrow, which is reasonable. I can own up to that punishment. But she also said I needed to write a letter to my parents telling them what I did. I don't know what pushed me to do this because I always did what grown-ups upset, but something in my head told me, you're not writing that letter. And so I didn't. Later that day, the teacher came up to me and asked, did you write the letter? Yes. Please don't ask to see it. Please don't ask to see it. Good. And so my parents never found out. Until right now, in this video. Please don't ground me, Mom and Dad. I don't know the statute of limitations on throwing rocks at little boys, but it's been 8 years. I think I'm safe. I'm not really guilty about this next story, but it's resonated within me for a very long time, so I'm gonna add it to this video. One late night, I was on the couch playing my Game Boy, and it was very much past my bedtime. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I was probably pushing it with wanting to stay up a bit longer, and my mom was in my room telling me I needed to go to bed. It got to the point where she pulled the, I'm gonna count to 3, and you better have the living room cleaned up,
and be in bed or else. Everyone knows counting to three means serious business, so I sprung up and immediately started getting my crap together. The thing was, the ottoman was pushed out, and normally it's supposed to be against the couch, so I had to push it back. But being a scrawny five-year-old the size of a poodle meant it was probably equivalent to trying to push a semi-truck. I kept pushing and pushing with all my strength as I heard my mom in the background going, "One, two." Eventually, I just crumbled to the ground in defeat and started crying, and my mom found me on the floor curled up next to the ottoman. I felt guilty I couldn't move the ottoman. But hey, you don't need to feel bad for me. Look at me now. Yeah, it's pretty inspiring. So yeah, those are the types of things my brain flashes back to when I'm wanting to feel guilty. For the record, I've not thrown a rock at anyone else ever since. I've got a pretty good thrown rocks to not thrown rocks ratio going on. Also, thank you to everyone who's been sending me happy birthday messages. That was very nice of you. You can see here I'm trying to squish in as much art as I can because I got so much, it's crazy. Watch this. And with the power of editing, boosh! Two conveyor belts of art! Whoa! Look at them all, sliding across the screen like they've got somewhere to be. See you later, little buddies. Thank you for drawing me things. It's awesome, and I like it a lot. My birthday is September 27th, so a couple days ago. I'm 20 now. Did I do anything? No. I'm not the biggest person on doing or planning things for my birthday. For some reason, I feel selfish celebrating it. It's... I don't know, my brain's weird. I know that thought process is kind of ridiculous, and I love celebrating other people's birthdays. I just have trouble celebrating me. But some of my friends got me gifts and made me feel special, so that's nice of them. Anyway, thanks for watching the videos. I'm 20 now. I'll talk to you later. I'm hanging up now. Bye.
You already know I like art. But there's other things to me, you know? Aside from art, I like other things too. Like art. In instrument form. When I was 5 years old, my mom put me in piano lessons. And even though I didn't understand what piano really was at the time, it just became a part of me as I grew up, and I still enjoy it to this day. If you didn't know I play piano, then you must be very new here. Do your research. I literally posted a piano video like, what is it, 6 videos ago? Nah, just pulling your leg. It's fine if you didn't know. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. But I mean, it was only 6 videos ago. So, I took lessons at this little place down the road. It was quaint and homey, just a really great atmosphere. The owner was this sweet old lady, and she had so much passion for running the place and teaching kids piano. It was great. Until around 8 years later, when the place was bought out by another owner. I don't know the exact details, but I'm assuming it was because the place was going downhill a bit and the owner couldn't keep it. So now the little piano place is being run by new people, and they... sucked! They literally had no care or respect for the place and only wanted to make money. All the passion was gone and you could feel the life drain out of the poor place every day. They branched out to other lessons, which doesn't seem bad, but there would be electric guitars playing at the same time as violins, and during my private lessons there would be some kid blasting it on the drums a couple rooms down. Nothing worked. There was no synergy. But... no, it got worse. The new owners renovated the place to add dance lessons. So not only are there frickin' drum solos playing at the same time as one-on-one piano lessons, but now there's an extra layer of background noise of bad hip-hop music. I remember trying to play a Mozart piece I was assigned, and halfway in we were interrupted by... a lot of people were complaining, but the owners didn't listen. Or care. More variety means more profit, so off with you, peasants. We decided to leave when they added karate classes, so that's how I stopped lessons. To be honest, I already knew the basics of piano, and they were kinda just throwing songs at me to learn, and when I got it down, I'd just move on to the next and totally forget about the previous one. You know, like when you study for a test just to pass, and then walk out of class the same day like, nice, now I can forget everything. So I was kind of getting bored of the whole routine anyway. For 2 years, I stopped playing piano. I thought I could only play what teachers told me to, and wasn't interested in the majority of what they were giving me. I was tired of the typical classic songs and stuff. Not trying to say classical or any of that style of music is bad. I was just sick of learning them and was overall disinterested. Keep in mind, I was doing it for 8 years. In the summer of my junior year of high school, I remember hearing a Pokemon song and thought,
You know, this would be really pretty on the piano. I wonder if people have made it into sheet music. And thus, I was introduced to a whole new world of piano music. Jaden, you aren't a real pianist unless you only play Beethoven and Chopin and Mozart. Anything else is a disgrace to the piano. What are you doing?
Do you mind if I use this scalpel to just try and make a big incision in your head?
What? Why?
You seem a bit close-minded. I started downloading a bunch of video game sheet music I was attached to, and I was re-inspired to pick up piano again. Yay, happy ending! Don't give up on your dreams, kids! Sparkles, fireworks! But what you don't know, unless you know me personally, or have been stalking me for the past 14 years of my life, is that I've actually had my fair share of playing a lot of other instruments too. I was a bit of an instrument dolphin, diving into one instrument, dropping it, and diving into a new one. Repeat cycle. The United States education system is dumb. I think we all already knew that. Also, shout out to Arizona for being one of the best states in the US for education. So I don't know about you, but my elementary school forced third graders to take a Suzuki class where you learn how to play the violin. No one liked it except the three or four kids whose parents already forced them to learn violin before that. The only thing I looked forward to in that class was trying to get the special violin case with the black interior instead of the normal blue. I realize now that was just the school having absolutely no money and buying whatever they could find to have enough violins for the amount of students. But it was special to me, alright? Nothing else to say about my violin experience. I literally don't remember anything else but just wanting to be the first to the only black violin case. Don't turn that into a racial thing. Looking at you, Wall Street Journal. In fourth grade, they let us choose if we wanted to stick with the violin or switch to a viola, cello, or bass. I chose the cello. Nothing else to that story either. I just played the cello for a year and then dropped it. There was this one girl in class who was literally the smallest out of everyone.
Insert easy typical short joke.
She chose the bass. The thing was frickin' 2 times the size of her, height and weight wise. It was almost torture watching the poor girl haul this obnoxiously large instrument to class every week.
So that's how the Egyptians built the pyramids.
The school also forced us to learn the recorder. That was a nightmare. All I remember about those days were... Guitar! Dudes, calm down with the instruments. What are you trying to do? Turn us into a parade? Again, the school was shoving more instruments down our throats when they barely had the budget to pay for complimentary pencils in their own classrooms.
Hey, I don't think you need to be throwing away your money to random crap. You know, I think there's some other people there who could benefit from a bit extra in their salaries.
So the school bought guitars, but not enough guitars. They couldn't afford enough for all the students in a class, so we had to share them in groups of 3. 3! Not even 2!
You tried.
One student would have to play a chord, and then the other 2 would just stare at them. No one learned anything. Imagine trying to learn how to write the alphabet. But hey, no. You can't write the letters. You have to watch someone write the letters. Kinesthetic learning style? Pfft, what's that?
School, what are you doing? Are you actually trying to be low on that education list?
You know you're supposed to try for first, right? It's not a high score kind of thing. You're not supposed to go for 50.
Finally, of course, there was the typical band option in 5th and 6th grade. The instrument I chose was the flute. The main reason was because when the band teacher came in to show us all the instruments we got to choose from, he let us try and play them without any experience, and when he was explaining the flute, he was like, "Okay, now the flute is one of the hardest to pick up. It's a bit more complicated than it looks. You've got to figure out the exact special way to align your lips to make the sound because it's a very particular..."
Holy mother, I am the chosen one. This is a sign from the heavens. Greek god Apollo has destined me to play this flute. Get wrecked, mates!
I actually really liked playing the flute. Since I already knew how to read sheet music from my piano lessons, I was already a step above most of the students, and I had fun. But I had to drop it after 6th grade because taking band in junior high didn't fit into my schedule. Instead, I chose to take an art elective.
And you know where that led to.
Alright, serious business to talk about here. It's actually important. I've noticed a lot of people have been going out of their way to send threats and really horrible messages to other people that, I guess, create similar content to mine. And I just wanted to say, dude, like,
Stop. I'm getting embarrassed on behalf of what you're doing. These people aren't copying me or anything. They're just having fun making videos. Calm down. They're getting really unmotivated and sad. You're kind of ruining it for everyone. You may not believe it, but what you say and do online does have an impact on people. You have the power to really hurt someone, but at the same time, you also have the power to make someone happier. So, I mean, it's your choice if you want to create a good impact or a bad one. Like, I don't really care what you do. I'm not here to be your mom. Freedom of speech and everything. But, I don't know. Stop comparing everyone to each other. Just let them do their thing. They're not pretending to be me or anything. There's a difference between taking inspiration and straight up copying. Think about it. If everyone was copying each other, then there would only be, like, a few channels on YouTube. Only one animation channel, only one gaming channel, only one vlog channel, etc. Everyone else is a copy in your eyes, right? What makes channels different are the personalities behind them. Content can be similar, but everyone's so unique, identity and charisma-wise, that every channel is kind of in their own category. Just everyone chill, okay? Cool. Have a good rest of your day.
Ah, Animal Crossing. The game that's keeping most of the population sane while 2020 burns outside our windows. Like many fans of the franchise, I have a very special place in my heart for Animal Crossing. See? I put it right there. Growing up, I loved video games, but I didn't have very many friends. Sad. And within those few friends, most of them weren't super into video games. Sad. So I grew up playing games either alone or with my brother. Sad. What I'm getting at is, I'm not used to being able to connect with people over video games, let alone get to experience them with my friends together. But the one game that my few friends did play was Animal Crossing Wild World on the DS. I remember playing Animal Crossing for hours, days, sometimes mostly weeks in a row, during summer vacation with my best friend Kate. It was always the highlight of our summer, and depending on your point of view, that may or may not be depressing. My family also used to have a tradition to visit the rest of my family in Canada every July, so my brother and I would continue to play Animal Crossing with our cousins. Nothing could stop us. Not even the great borders of the United States of America. We had this game we made up where we all meet up at one person's town, dig a bunch of holes in the shape of a maze, and then one of us would chase the others around with a bunny hood, gas mask, and axe, like some sort of morbid tag. We called it the bunny game, which looking back was a bit misleading in the innocence of the actual premise. When Animal Crossing New Leaf was released, Kate and I got our hands on it the day of our high school sophomore prom, and we very much wanted to ditch it entirely just for the game. It's not like we had dates or anything, but we ended up going anyway, and it was lame. All in all, I love Animal Crossing. I get that it's not a game for everyone because of its slow pace and open-ended nature, but it was one of the few games I got to experience with friends on a really deep level and collected a bunch of fond memories with. Now we have New Horizons, the game that parted the clouds and descended upon us when the world needed it most. I like the game a lot. I've got my gripes, which I'll get to at some point, but while playing the game, I started thinking about the original, Animal Crossing for the GameCube. I had a GameCube growing up, but my mom didn't buy Animal Crossing for us, so that meant I had no idea it existed. That's just how the world worked for me back as a kid. If my mom didn't buy it for me, then it didn't exist. So now, as an adult, I've started to make the connection that not only do I have my own money to buy my own video games, but I can do whatever I want, mostly. And using that newfound power, I've decided to go back to the basics and experience firsthand the beginning of one of my favorite game franchises. What's changed? What secrets have been hiding from me? Well, I guess we're about to find out together. The classic train scene. Rover walks over and asks if he can sit with me, promising not to fall asleep and drool on my shirt, to which I reply, "No way! Wow, it's nice to know there's still plenty of rude people in the world." And he sits there anyway. So you go through the typical beginning of an Animal Crossing game. Who are you? I'm Jaden. Where are you going? Mustard. What's your credit card number and mother's maiden name? September 27th. My friend has a house for you because you're stupid. Okay, you arrive in town, meet Tom Nook, and he offers to let you check out the vacant houses he's got. Let's see. We've got medieval torture dungeon, haunted backyard garden shed, Chinese sweatshop locker room, and 15th century empty pool. Yeah, I'll take a locker room, please. After settling on a place, Tom Nook asks for the payment of 19,800 bells, to which I realize I have nothing, so I'm like, No. And he's like, you better freaking give me the money. So I'm like, here. To which he realizes I barely have even 0.05% of what he wants from me. And he straight up laughs in my face. You only have 1,000 bells? You're joking with me, right? Why, you're so short, I can't help but laugh. So he puts me to work at his shop to earn the rest of the money. You get various tasks to complete for Nook, be it planting nice flowers around his shop to make it look nice. I planted them around my house. Meeting the other villagers, making deliveries. Bro, when I delivered this Sue E chick her, like, signed copy of The Notebook on Blu-ray or whatever junk she ordered, she completely just destroyed me out of nowhere. Boy, that's mine. Why do you have it, Jaden? Are you working for Tom Nook or something? Oh, you are? How amusing. You mean to tell me you didn't have enough money to buy a house when you moved? Well, how silly. Were you the mental run to the litter or what? Oh, I'm just having a little fun with you. I suppose everyone has to take a bold step once in their lives. So, you must not have any money to buy furniture. Don't be ashamed. Here, take this blue wardrobe. You simply must take it. I bet you go home to a sad little empty house every day, don't you? It may not be much, but beggars can't be choosers. And that's when I realized how absolutely brutal this game had the capability of being. I heard that it could be sassy at some points, but I was straight up murdered by this gothic drag queen pig just for being a delivery boy. You can't say that to the, like, Amazon Prime delivery guys. What the heck? That's how you get your stuff smashed. So you know what I did? I sent the biggest guy in town, Rocco, a letter and used my smooth talking skills to try and send him a signal and take care of her. And just in case that didn't work out, I made a community bulletin board post to warn the others. After you finish being a corporate wage slave, the game finally becomes the Animal Crossing experience I'm used to. Catching bugs, finding fossils, waiting an entire week for Tom Nook to finally sell a stupid fishing rod. I'll admit, coming from New Horizons, the original Animal Crossing doesn't have much to offer. Maybe it held up better in the past, or I was able to have more fun with it because I was younger and easier to be entertained, but I found myself strapped on things to do. Sure, I could fish for 2 hours straight to make money, but I could also just play another game. Why I think New Horizons is the best game in the series so far, big asterisk on the so far, is that it saw where players were taking the franchise and ran with it far beyond what we could have hoped for. Oh, people really enjoy being able to customize their house and are using the little pattern spaces to make cool paths for their town? Well then let's give them a bigger town, and more pattern spaces, and hundreds of new and modernized furniture items, and let them put them outside wherever and however they want, and let's let them shape the earth and sea. I've put hundreds of hours into New Horizons already, and I'm not nearly done with the game. My island still looks like crap. I played the original Animal Crossing for a week or two, and could only put at max an hour into it per day, because I ran out of things I wanted to do. Oh, so New Horizons is the most superior game in every possible way, right? Hahaha, no. While New Horizons has much more for you to do, the thing I think the original Animal Crossing got right that the new one doesn't is the villagers. Since I would get bored of continuously failing at fishing in the GameCube version, I found myself talking to the villagers much more often, and that's where I had the most enjoyment. The conversations with the villagers in the GameCube version have so much flavor. Sure, Sue E called me a mental run to the litter just a minute ago, but that brought out something in me that New Horizons hasn't been able to do within 300 hours of me playing. Talking to the villagers in the GameCube version made me remember why I liked the game so much as a kid. They say and do interesting things. I don't know if it's just me, but New Horizons has some of the blandest text I've seen in Animal Crossing yet. It feels like what they say is limited to like 5 things, and I honestly don't enjoy talking to them and haven't built a single connection to any of them on my island. I don't care who moves in, just so long as they're really super hot. I'm talking hunkalicious. Feels like it's been raining all the time lately. I hate getting wet. Jaden, you feel the same, right? No, actually, I don't really mind. Oh, really? Well, why don't you just stay in the rain then, since you love it so much? And I hope you catch a cold! I don't know what it is
about me, but I seem to be just as popular with boys and girls. It's madness. Meanwhile, in New Horizons... Hi, Jaden. Sometimes I like to sit. No, I don't want any! I'm telling you for the last time, you foul creature! Go away, hippie! Oh, wait, it's just you. I thought it was another one of those weirdos handing out tissues. Hi, Jaden. I've been having a good day. All right, see you later. Shrivel up and blow away, shrimp! At one point, I walked up to Sue E, and she just started screaming. I'm begging you! Would someone please change that hideous town tune? Jaden, I highly doubt you have a talented bone in your body, but you do seem to be able to run fast. So be a dear and go change that horrible music, would you? So, of course, I changed the town tune. Anything for Sue E, her wish is my command. I'll say, normally I'm not a big town tune changer in the games, but this one made me laugh. Is that better, Sue E? You like that? I wasn't expecting to have an arch nemesis in Animal Crossing again, because it hasn't happened to me since Wild World, but Sue E really just came into my life and slapped me around, begging me to hate her. Say, didn't you owe Tom Nook a fairly large sum of money? I was just wondering, did you ever manage to pay him back? Well, what's it to ya? Whoa, you seem a little touchy, Jaden. I guess you're still just a burden to society. But that's what Nintendo got wrong in the new games. I want drama. I want enemies. And bloodshed. The animals in New Horizons feel like just objects for me to judge on appearances and get items from. All in all, I very much like Animal Crossing. I know New Horizons isn't for everyone and is far from perfect, but I'm a big fan of the type of game it is, and the cons don't outweigh the pros for me. Do I wish the villagers had a shred of life to them? Yes. Do I hate the new music they wrote for it and desperately want to have the old music back? Yes. But I can put my Godzilla statues together like they're on a date. Is the old Animal Crossing lacking in objectives and even slower than I could have imagined? Yes. But at least I get verbally abused by my neighbors and can hit Sue E with my net.
So if you haven't heard... Oh god, Ari. So if you haven't heard, James just announced his new game, Cafe Chaos. It's a turn-based card game where you build food combinations and try to win a food fight against your opponents. There's different abilities and characters you can play as, and if you get the Animator Expansion Pack, you can find me in there with Ari and a lot of other animators. My food card is Pasta with No Sauce. It's a fun game James and his team worked really hard on, and what else are you gonna do during quarantine? You can check out more details by going to the Kickstarter. I put the link in the description. Anyway, thanks for watching the video. I didn't know what to expect going into the game, but I'm sure glad I did, because that was a whole experience. Alright, talk to you later, bye.
Jaden, what is this? 2 Pokemon videos in a row? Yeah, and you clicked on it, so I've already won. Back in April, I went back to Japan and had the pleasure of being invited to the Pokemon Cafe alongside Jacob, Brayden, Captain Kidd, and his girlfriend too. Courtesy of Pikachu himself. And the Pokemon Company. Legally, I have to disclose that. But it was mainly Pikachu. Apparently, we were the first creators who have ever been personally invited to the cafe, which absolutely blew my mind. That's insanely special, and I felt so honored. So, naturally, I thought, why not channel a bit of Emily's aura and make a video about the experience? We walked in and were greeted by a wall of the cutest cafe-themed Pokemon merch. Chef Pikachu plushes, plates, cups, decorations. Oh, it was beautiful. We'll come back for you, my beloveds. Let us feast first. The staff brought us to our table, taught us how to order food from the little tablet, and our Pokemon experience began. We decided to start with the drinks first, and there were genuinely so many to choose from. Cute character soda floats, tea sets, flavored milks, how could you even decide? Basically, between the four of us, we ordered almost one of everything. I think visually, my favorites were the Paldea soda floats. Sprigatito was melon flavored, Fuecoco was apple, and Quagsley was Ramune soda. I know I'm saying it all American-like, but I'm embarrassed to try it the Japanese way. Ramune. Ramune.
I don't know. Personally, I absolutely love soda floats already, but put a cookie of a little guy on top, and I'll definitely pay for that. Poikoko is my favorite Pokemon of the three, so I've convinced myself that it was also my favorite flavor-wise, but all of them were actually really nice. I also tried the Pikachu float as well, which looked the prettiest. I'm not really a big fan of lemon flavor things, so I only took a few sips, but if you like lemon and also Pikachu, I think you would really enjoy it. There are also little choose your Pokemon lattes where you sift through a giant menu of practically any Pokemon you wanted printed onto the foam of a latte. Everyone chose their respective favorites. Of course, I got me a little Aggron. Look at this guy! He was born to be on top of a latte. Delicious. Jacob also got the chocolate Moo Moo Milk, and it was super cool because they brought out a little set of, like, Moo Moo Milk, chocolate, and a shaker. So you basically make it yourself. Jacob said it was good. So, I'm sure it was. I can't confirm. I didn't try it. Last but not least, we ordered one of the Poltegeist and Sinistea tea sets. I don't really drink tea, but the pot and cups were so cute, we ended up buying them when we left. This is just genius merch on their behalf. Well done to them. I love it. On to the food. As you can see, there were a decent amount of options here too. Unfortunately, as some of you guys know, I don't eat meat. And even more unfortunately, since vegetarian diets aren't very common in Japan, every food item on the menu included some kind of meat. We called over Pikachu and his employees to double check and see if they offered something to fit my diet, and after flipping through their menu, they came to the conclusion there was nothing. And oh my gosh, I genuinely felt so bad because they looked devastated and like personally disappointed in themselves for not having anything. Like, I frantically told them it was completely fine and not to worry about it, it's okay. But as they left, they gave us a very deep bow and oh, I just felt really, really bad. Pikachu, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Please don't be upset with yourself. I promise. It's really okay. I'm really sorry. Luckily, I came up with a solution. Their Eevee mixed rice plate included a lot of various vegetable sides, so I ordered that and just avoided the tiny little meat part. Normally, I try not to spend money on any meat, even if I don't plan on eating it. But yeah, if you're vegan or vegetarian and really want to make something work, that's the best option you've got currently. No disrespect to anyone at all. That one's just a difference in culture, and I don't expect to be catered to my specific diet just anywhere, especially Japan. Anyway, I ordered the Eevee rice thing. The full government name is the Last Resort Japanese Mixed Rice Plate with Eevee and Colorful Friends, according to the website. And I just think that's wonderful. Taste-wise, it was decently good. Very colorful and pretty to look at. I didn't know most of the things I was eating, but it was tasty. Jacob, Brayden, and Two got the other items, which also all turned out super cute and fun to look at. There were three types of Pikachu curry, all respectively themed around the Kanto starters. All of them were pretty much the same thing besides a few ingredient changes and different Pokemon cracker on top, of course. The Snorlax lunch plate was a chicken and rice dish. Jacob said it tasted good. Also, for a limited time, they were offering a special Tatsugiri bento box set. I think this one looked the best. Genuinely beautiful plating right there. I loved it, even though I could only pick at it. The general consensus in terms of overall taste of everything was that nothing was super crazy, out of this world, delicious gourmet, but nothing was, like, bad, you know? It was more about the experience and novelty of the cafe anyway, so no one really minded. We were simply enjoying being there with our cute plates and spoons. Finally, we wrapped up the meal with desserts. There was a cute Pikachu souffle pancake and a chocolate parfait. Naturally, like everything else, it was all simply art on a plate. I personally thought they both tasted really nice. Nothing was too sweet, we got to ooh and ah at them, and it was a perfect way to wrap up the meal. As a fun surprise during it, there was a portion where Chef Pikachu came out and did a cute little dance around the restaurant for the people eating. Most of the video is blurred for the privacy of the people there. But look at Pikachu, look at him go! He can't clap his hands to go along with the song, but that doesn't stop him from trying. Hi Pikachu, big fan! man. We wrapped everything up and, of course, grabbed pretty much all of the exclusive merch they were offering. How are we supposed to remember our experience forever and ever if we don't bring back all the plushes they have? Riddle me that! I wanted to extend a very, very big thank you to the Pokemon Company and Pikachu for reserving our table and having us come to the cafe. They didn't pay me to make a video or anything, but I wanted to share my experience with you guys because I definitely enjoyed my time there, and I know a lot of you love Pokemon, just like me. It was a huge honor, we all had a great time, and the cafe was wonderful. Plus four to the Pikachu plush collection. I would definitely recommend the cafe to anyone who likes Pokemon and food shaped like Pokemon. Due to its popularity, you absolutely have to get a reservation to eat there. You can't just walk in and expect to be seated. And double unfortunately, reservations are also very difficult to get because, again, so many people are reserving tables all the time. So, good luck to anyone trying to get in, but I'd say it's very worth it. Alright, that was my thoughts. I had a great time. Thank you, Pikachu and company. My next dream, I think, is to visit the Chikawa Cafe. Maybe one day.
Theme cafes are really cool and I wish that America did them more, but then again, it's probably good for me that I have to travel all the way to Japan to go to ones of my favorite franchises, because otherwise I would absolutely have no personal restraint. Thanks for watching. I don't really have much to say this time around, so I'll just say it. Next video is about Chikawa. You knew it had to happen. Alright, I gotta go. Bye-bye.
So, this is a weird video to follow up with after I just talked about how much I don't like reading for like 7 minutes. But I guess it kind of works out because since you've obviously seen that video, right? We don't have to talk about my tragic reading backstory that's left me in soul-crushing shambles. So what book could someone like me who's been forever ruined from the past haunting memories of reading call a favorite? Harry Potter? Lord of the Rings? Grapes of Wrath? Nope. None of these revolting pieces of literature hold a candle to the masterpiece. Leave It to Pet, The Misadventures of a Recycled Super Robot. Is this a joke? I'm not sure yet. I read this book in sixth grade when I was 11, and I'll preface it with, yes, it's a manga. Do I want to get into the debate if manga, comic books, or graphic novels are considered real books? I don't think so. I don't actually remember how I stumbled onto this book. I remember owning it, so it might have been a gift from my parents or a friend, but your guess is as good as mine. We can say it's a gift from the Lord. Leave It to Pet, The Misadventures of a Recycled Super Robot, is about this 9-year-old boy, Noboru, who recycled an orange juice bottle. The recycling plant wanted to say thanks for recycling and sent this little bottle robot called Pet to rescue him whenever he needs help or is in danger. Sounds great, but the catch is, Pet is actually trash. Just kidding. Pet's childish, easily distracted, and overly confident in his abilities, which results in him making situations comedically worse and not being able to fix anything. Also, I don't know if you picked up on this, but this is not a high reading level book. Don't make fun of me for liking it. The book starts off with Pet introducing himself as Noboru and his friends are being picked on by bullies, but when he arrives to save the day, no one understands what Pet is or is supposed to do, or why he's here, obviously. What would you do if this thing walks up and starts talking to you? So Pet explains, I'm the orange juice bottle you recycled the other day. And Noboru's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Pet's like, I can't believe you don't remember. Freak. And the dynamic grows from there. There's not really a specific story. It's more episodic chapters where the characters are in different everyday scenarios that just get a little out of hand. And Pet, of course, is being a little bag of trash, complicating things that should have been an easy fix or weren't even problems to begin with. Chapter 7 is a good one. Nabor is out fishing with his friends and his line is caught on some rocks, so he calls for Pet. Leave it to Pet, what seems to be the problem? And as Nabor is explaining, Pet gets overpowered by the current. Not a problem. It's like it never happened. Pet assesses the situation. I see your hook is stuck at the bottom of the river. Ka-ching! Ka-ching! I know exactly what to do. Whoosh! And he cuts the line off. Namora's like, what the heck, dude? And Pet's like, what, you wanted that old thing? And he's like, yes, of course I wanted it! More characters are introduced later on, but my favorites are P2, where in his debut, when he's describing how he's the new and improved Pet model, with his 200% faster speed, larger body, but lighter weight. He blows away because he's so light, and Pet's all, dang, that's awesome, and explodes off his arms and legs to try and be lighter too. I wish humans could do that. Also, Bottle Doggy is a great character. He drags his limp body around on a leash. I think the reason I love this book so much is, frankly, a lot of nostalgia. Not sure a 20-something-year-old would pick this up and deeply connect with Bottle Doggy's character arc. But the author, Sonishi Kenji, also created, in my opinion, a really cute little knucklehead I just want to have in my life. And 11-year-old me was obsessed with. Ted became one of my favorite characters for a bit, and I would draw him all the time. In class, we had our desks arranged in groups, and I had a bit of open space on the side because my desk was on the corner. So I drew a little pet and stuck him on the side for the world to see how much of a stan I was. No one cared. Why are you drawing orange juice? I would make my own little original characters of bottle robots that I would want. I believe the original term might be trash Sona, and recycled extra things in hopes I could have my own pet. I was really big on imagination and stuff as a kid, so anything that played around with enhancing reality and fun in creative ways was right up my alley. And it taught me how to recycle, so you're welcome, Greta Thunberg. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about this book. Ever? It seems like it slipped under the radar for some reason. And I think it deserves more love because the humor in it was suitable for 11-year-old me, and I bought the book to read through again, and the humor is still suitable for me. So either it's fun for all ages, or I haven't mentally progressed since grade 6. Of course, naturally, there's nothing wrong with having things targeted towards certain age groups, but I think there should just be more things like Pet, The Misadventures of a Recycled Super Robot. Bringing families and people of all ages together with his charm, froggy hat, and massive glistening samurai muscles. I'm telling you, there's something in here for everyone. Sure, the story is pretty simple, but the humor, which I always value the most, is great for all ages and doesn't try to dumb anything down to baby younger readers. I think it's easy to think kids are children until they're not. But they're still people and can tell when they're being talked down to. Now go file your taxes, pathetic little boy. Anyway, I just really like the book. It's cute, funny, Pet reminds me of Ari if Ari was a recycled super robot made from an orange juice bottle. You can read the whole thing in like 20 minutes, if not faster. If I were to critique one thing, I wasn't too keen on how they kept introducing new recycled robots, and the crew just started getting a bit too crowded by the end, in my opinion. I liked when it was just a few characters, and would have liked to see them play around with more ideas instead of just bringing in a new character to depend on new ideas for. But Bottle Doggy was a masterpiece. He can stay. There's actually 3 other books that come after it, but I haven't read them because I'm worried that they won't be as good, and I want to remember Pet as the example of perfect literature it is. Are there hundreds of books that I would probably enjoy more than this one if I gave a chance? Yes. But am I still gonna end the video without giving a reasonable explanation for me not trying to find them? Yep.
Hey again, it's me. Thanks for watching the video. I wanted to say thank you to everyone who stopped by the charity live stream the other day. I was blown away the entire stream. And you can probably tell by the fact I couldn't get myself to do anything the first 30 minutes because I was so blindsided with support. If you missed it, I was hoping to raise $30,000 and we raised $260,000 in 4 hours. So thank you to everyone who was there, participated, donated, everything. And thanks to Sean for putting it all together. I had fun, and wow, you guys are just amazing. But don't let it go to waste. Make sure you still stay inside, stay quarantined, wash your hands, everything. We're all in it together. Anyway, thanks for watching my video about a recycled orange juice.
You know those parent or adult parties your parents had when you were little, where all the adults would get together at a house and push all their kids off into another room and say, "Now play together." Well, one time when I was probably about 6 or 7, my family had a parent party, and all the kids decided to play hide and seek together. So I ran into the bathroom and hid behind the shower curtain, and looking back at this, I realized how horrible of a hiding spot that is, because that's basically the only spot you can hide in the bathroom, and I probably would have been found easily in a matter of minutes. But anyway, I was sitting there in the bathtub when someone walked into the bathroom, and I thought it was a seeker, so I stayed really quiet. But then I heard the door shut and the sound of someone opening the toilet lid. It was definitely not a seeker. Or one of the kids, for that matter. Turns out, I had to sit in the bathtub completely motionless, listening to some guy pee for a good amount of time. And the whole time I was so scared he would look behind the shower curtain and find me just sitting in the bathtub, thinking I was trying to watch people pee or something. So eventually he left and I could get out of the bathroom, and after that I was done. I was done playing hide and seek for a very long time after that. And no, he didn't wash his hands.
Hello, everybody! Friends! Hello, friends! I've got a special surprise for you all today! It's James!
Hey! How's it going? Heyo!
Some of you, most of you, should know him from The Odd Ones Out.
Yee!
And if you don't, you better get on that, because he's, like, the funniest channel.
Thanks.
It's a fact. We became friends a little while ago, and I thought it was about time to have you on the video.
Thank you.
So, coincidentally, we both live in the oven that is Arizona, and we wanted to share our thoughts and opinions on it. Like, don't get us wrong, we love it here.
Well, I mean, love is a pretty strong word.
We don't completely despise Arizona. But there's just some things about it that are just like, eh. So we're gonna talk about them, and yeah.
There's no trees here.
One, the heat. You talked about it a lot in your own Arizona video, James.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone hasn't seen it, I suggest you watch that, because it is a pretty A1 video.
Thanks.
But don't do it yet, because you still gotta watch this video.
Yeah, don't watch that video.
Yet. It gets absolutely scalding here. What, the record last summer was like 120 Fahrenheit, something like that?
Yeah, it was unbearable.
Like, shoot, Arizona, slow your roll with the heat. We're not eggs trying to be boiled over here. And some people do that. They try to fry eggs with just the sun. You can look it up. It's a thing.
Ah, it's disgusting. You didn't put any salt on it. The heat is so bad, especially in the summer. If you wanted to do anything outside, then you had a 50% chance of having a heat stroke. It's just a risk you had to take.
Also, cars become literal toasters. You open the door and you're hit with just a massive wave of just Satan. And you'd sit down with like as little skin touching the seat as possible, and you kind of just have to wait and sit there, wait for the heat to die down just enough to be able to do anything. The seatbelt's too hot, the dash is too hot, the steering wheel's like, holy Jesus.
You think we're exaggerating, but no. If your car was parked in direct sunlight, you have to wait for it to cool down because you have to touch the steering wheel to drive, and you don't want to be driving like you're playing hot potato with the wheel.
I think someone needs to invent, like, a little compartment for holding oven mitts or something in the car, because that's really the only way you can actually drive without burning your hands off.
If someone actually does that, then we should get 50% of the profit because we came up with that idea. And then when you're all done and you get out of the car and you hear your sweaty back being pulled apart from the leather seats like a sticky note.
It's gross.
Two, cactuses.
Cacti.
Not a lot of places have cacti. Only Arizona, Texas, Nevada, and New Mexico have natural growing cacti. And a tiny bit of Mexico. So some people who visit are like, ooh, look, cacti, cool. Sure, they're cool to look at, but I don't get why they're so excited about cacti. They're freaking everywhere.
Yeah, living with them is the worst. When I was growing up, I lived in a cul-de-sac neighborhood where the road looped around a little desert patch. Well, when I was learning to ride a bike, I was pedaling down the road towards the neighborhood, and I didn't turn with the road because I didn't know how. So I rode straight into the desert center and ran into a little cactus patch. I don't remember much about it because I was little, but it was pretty scarring.
Literally. Also, there's a type of cactus called jumping cactus, because they jump out and attack you for no reason. Guess who? Cacti are jerks.
Three, the wildlife. Everyone always talks about the scary scorpions and snakes here, and yeah, they're pretty sucky to have to deal with,
Yeah, one time this big scorpion...
But no one ever talks about the friggin' javelinas! If you don't know what javelinas are, they're wild hogs. And they're scary as freak. They're mean, and they'll run after you, and they travel in packs, and they're smelly.
I've never had to deal with those before.
Well, let me tell you. The only way you can get them to not attack you is to feed them bananas. But then they start coming back because they want more bananas, and you're stuck in this loop forever feeding them all your bananas out of fear.
They're like ducks, but worse.
If ducks were big, ugly, hairy monsters who wanted to eat your bananas.
Me and my siblings used to capture lizards for fun, and we would just hold them. But sometimes we would accidentally pull their tails off. Did you know that lizards' tails still move even after you pull them? I knew that. Also, at night, the cicadas would be really loud and annoying.
4. There's nothing to do here.
That's why me and Jaden are artists. You get to stay inside and do fun stuff, while not having to worry about dying of heatstroke.
Arizona's kinda really boring. There's not much to do here in terms of entertainment. Sure, there's like zoos and aquariums and like mini golf.
And friends, if you have those.
The other main option is dirty water parks. I've never been a fan of water parks. They gross me out. Everyone shares the tubes and the slides and the water with a very minimal amount of clothing on. Like, who knows what's in that water? Especially the wave pools. It's like a public bath. I've seen people take hot dogs into them too. It's like dirty public hot dog bath. Oh, I guess the one I like here is Sunsplash.
Same. Wait, did we go to the same water park?
The same Sunsplash?
I mean, it could be a possibility. Did you go on the green one where the floor was...
Like, the floor would drop? Oh my god.
OMG!
So yeah, that's the video. I need water, but my thing's all the way in the corner of the closet.
You can get up and get it. ASMR. Hey, we should make an ASMR video. Stop.
The beloved.
Water. Shrek.
So yeah, that's the video. James and I found out we probably went to the same dirty water park when we were young and never knew it. And everything's come full circle.
Yeah, the food was pretty expensive.
Hope you guys enjoyed us complaining about where we live. If you want to hear some more of the pros...
And more cons.
...of Arizona, like fruit, old people, and haboobs.
Haboobs!
Go watch James's video, and of course, if you somehow didn't know him or his channel, you gotta check that out too. So, thank you.
Thanks for watching.
For the watching. Thank you for the watching.
The watching, thank you for
Thanks
it.
For the watching. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
If you don't know what javelinas are, they're wild hogs. And they're scary as freak. They're scary as freak.
That's freak!
Freak! I've never been a fan of dirty water parks. I mean...
Who is?
I just played one of the best Pokemon games ever, and I'm here to tell you all about it. I'm a huge Pokemon fan. Ruby was one of the first video games I remember owning, and I've decided to devote the rest of my life and soul to the franchise. And by that, I mean I'll play the new games when they come out. Do I have to like them? No. Frankly, I think the past few recent ones have been kind of garbage. But that won't stop me from getting my hopes up, thinking the next game will be different, even though deep down, we all know it won't be. But Pokemon does have a few side games you might have heard of, like Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, or Pokemon Stadium, or that weird geometric one. But there's one franchise that I feel like doesn't get talked about nearly as much as it deserves, and that's Pokemon Ranger. I had the original Pokemon Ranger game as a kid, and I remember two things about it. I liked it, and circles. Lots of circles. The flashbacks are beginning. When I remembered Pokemon Ranger existed, I decided to look it up and see if it was worth possibly making a video on, and that's when I realized there were actually 3 Pokemon Ranger games. Pokemon Ranger, Pokemon Ranger Shadows of Almia, and Pokemon Ranger Guardian Signs. Bit of a Pokemon Ranger mouthful, but I digress. I was looking at some forums of people discussing which one they thought was the best, and the Shadows of Almia one seemed to be high on a lot of people's lists. So I bought the game. Now sit down and get comfy because I just played this game for the first time and I'm here to tell you about why it's the best game ever. The game starts off with your character taking the entrance exam to a Pokemon Ranger school, and it only took me 2 attempts to draw 5 consecutive circles around this barely moving Pikachu.
You're dang right that's impressive. I guess that's all it takes, because now I'm officially a member of this secret army for this inscrutable team school plotting to rule the world. Oh, he's just kidding. Yeah, it's a normal school. I'm introduced to my class, and for some reason they've been, like, starved for new human contact or something, because they're bombarding the teacher with questions. Are they a boy or a girl? Which is it? Is she cute? So I'm introducing myself, and apparently the teacher catches this Keith kid looking at me with a big grin. Anyway, you go sit next to Keith. Oh, okay, just plop me right next to him. Yeah, I don't mind or anything. Thanks, teach. Anyway, you get a tour of the school from the scroll with me, meeting the other teacher, Mr. Kinsade, who's apparently a stickler for making sure kids don't run in the hall, and this kid Isaac that Rhythmie called Mushroom Hair. Both my IQ and my height in centimeters are 163. Alright, bud. After getting a feel for the school, you're taught how to capture Pokemon with your styler. Loops portray the feeling of friendship, so the more loops you draw around the Pokemon, the more it will submit to your friendship. That's nice. Touch the Bidoof. You finish the school day and are fast asleep in the dorms when all the students decide it's initiation time. Get up, sleepyhead, it's 4 a.m. time for your student initiation. Yes, sirs. They tell you to find all four of the stylers they've hidden around the giant school, and after doing so, you have to put them in the basement for some reason. So you head down there after finding them all and are in the basement when... Why are you down here? Only I'm permitted to be in the basement. Leave now!
Anyway, Isaac, have you finished testing my very secret experiment no one can know about?
The rest of the school year goes on without any big problems. Pokemon Ranger Crawford comes and talks about what it's like to be a ranger. You save the milkman from some Bidoof. You attend a one-day internship at the local Pokemon Ranger base, and they make you bring them their lunch as an important mission. Actually, while you're at the internship, someone runs over and says the Pokemon on the beach are acting strange. You go with the Rangers to check it out to see all the Pokemon going crazy, and save the day by capturing them with your loops of friendship. But yeah, that's weird. Finally, you make it to graduation. Jaden, come up and make a speech as the class representative. Oh, I'm the class representative, huh? Well, don't mind if I... So after saving everyone from a very strange rampage of Tangrowth, you start working at the Pokemon Ranger base you interned at. There's a call about some more Pokemon acting strange down in a nearby cave, so your first mission is to investigate what's going on. In the cave, you stumble upon this weird missile-looking machine that seems to be what's hypnotizing the Pokemon in its vicinity and making them go crazy. So you destroy it and everyone's proud of you. This Professor Hastings guy is called down from the Pokemon Union to take a look at the cave machine, and I guess he's like 100 years old or something, because the Rangers want you to go meet him halfway in Puel Town to make sure he doesn't get lost and die along the way. You take one step in town, and oh god, all the Pokemon are going nuts. Turns out there's more of those rocket machines planted in the town, and as you're going around smashing them, you run into some guys that are not only very shady, but also terribly shifty. They run away to tell their leaders there's Pokemon Rangers smashing their stuff. And further into the town, you find them again with their admin, who's like, dude, what the heck? What do you have against our Giga Remos, you vandals? Treat things with respect. And then attacks me with Rattata and a Toxicroak. Not gonna lie, their battle music kinda bangs though. Turns out they're part of this gang called Team Dim Sun, and after capturing their Pokemon with friendship loops, they decide to retreat. We're able to find Professor Hastings and bring him back to the base to analyze what we now know are Giga Remo machines. He finds a tiny black crystal in the center that seems to be the thing that allows Team Dim Sun to control the Pokemon. The base considers this a problem, which is reasonable. And now the Pokemon Union starts getting involved, which is like the big head honcho of Pokemon Ranger bases where all the Ranger prodigies are. The story continues as the Union tries to uncover more about what Dim Sun is up to, and you keep interrupting their plans. You catch them trying to drill a tunnel in the side of a mountain. You catch them having a secret base and cargo ship in the middle of a volcano, which Mr. Kinsade has found to be part of Dim Sun. Big surprise, didn't see that one coming. You haven't been running in the ship's hallways, have you? You catch them mining hundreds of dark crystal shards in an abandoned mine. That one was a bit of a problem because apparently there was the mother of all shadow crystals there, powerful enough to power this incredible machine they're in the middle of developing that they plan on using to control all the Pokemon within a 500-mile radius they got their grubby hands on and helicoptered away to their headquarters. Probably should tell someone about that. But the good thing is we ended up finding the diary of the Dim Sun president's father, who writes about how if we gather these three gems called the Tears of Princess
forces, the gems will be able to combine their power and negate the power of the Shadow Crystal. Alright, let's go do that. The first gem is told to be in this giant ice castle called Alima Castle, and on the way there, you run into Dim Sun Grunts trying to stop you. They're not hard to deal with, and they start getting a bit frustrated. I want to pay you with a snowball. Hard. You make it to the castle after swimming through a bunch of ocean boulders and whirlpools that totally didn't slow me down at all, and end up at the castle where Dim Sun is already running around in trying to get the gem first. These guys are blocked from going any further because